everyone right now. This is not a political podcast. We are just media and we're talking about what's happening now. We're not, you know, no Democratic, no Republican. It's none of the above. We're neutral. We're just trying to give you guys some information of what's happening in the world around us. And stay tuned in. So, Bob, first thing is, you said that there was not going to be an election. They'll be continuing to count ballots. You said that before the election. My question to you is, why did you believe that? And now, if that is happening, because it is happening, what's the next step?
Okay, so we predicted confusion, threats and counter threats even before the election day. So a lot of mystery problems happened. Within a day or so, people saw the count wasn't right. So that's what I meant when I said the election will not be decided right away.
Mm-hmm.
Trump would say that if they had been fair late evening, 10:30, 2:30 his time or something, he would have won.
Mm-hmm.
But they stopped counting and started playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still unresolved. So what's going to happen? It looks like Trump will be declared winner eventually.
Why do you say that?
Because he won. The cheating that went on by the Democrats was very bad. And there are people even puzzled today. How can Biden get more votes than Obama? He said, there's no way can you be more popular than Obama in terms of vote totals. So they think that means there was a lot of extra votes added. So I assumed it was not going to be completed. And if they declare Trump wins, there'll be a problem from the anti-Trumpers. And if they declare Biden a winner, there'll be problems coming from the Trumpers. So we're going to basically get some kind of weird civil war. That's the next phase. It's going to get bad. But in some ways, it's just going to be grannies who got guns are going to go out and say, are you for Trump? And somebody says, no, I'm for Biden. Gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like one-on-one civil war.
My question to you is, why grannies? And I'm saying it with a straight face, because you've predicted stuff before. I'm not even like, you say grannies, I don't even, I don't stutter. But, why grannies? Why do you think that is?
They will not tolerate raised taxes. That's the main point. And they don't want to upset their accounting and have to go back to Ireland and other places and have better tax deals. They're not tolerant. They can't take the disruption. That's not the only issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if he starts raising taxes, they'll fight over it.
Mm-hmm. So the grannies are going to fight over the taxes, and that's going to be one thing. Okay, so what if, like you said, what if we don't know who's going to win? What if Biden wins? What do you think would be the after effect of that? Because there's both sides, and I'm sure we don't know what's going down. But what will be the after effects if Biden was the president? In your head or your thoughts?
It'd be a disaster. In many ways, I can't see Biden being president. So he'll have to be removed pretty quickly. And Kamala Harris doesn't seem that competent. But nobody can be competent in this situation. So right now, according to my sources today, you have the pro-Trumpers are meeting in Washington tomorrow to have a rally or some kind of thing, maybe even a prayer thing. And my sources say big trouble looming this weekend because there's going to be resistance to the MAGA rally. So that's and so in a way, the Civil War has started. It will be going starting tomorrow.
And
that's the worst scenario right now.
OK. And my question to you is this Civil War or whatever is set that you say will maybe going down this week or tomorrow. Is this going to be pro Trumpers?
In Washington. Big rally. Yeah.
And is this news right now that, if you look on social media, you would see that, there's going to be a rally in, D.C. tomorrow? Or is this something that you have a little bit of insider information of what's going down?
Yeah, I have information from the intelligence world, what they think and their concern. They think there's may be a problem, or even with a continuity of government. So it's going to get, you know, more violent than most people. People who are not informed, it's just another basketball game or something. Mm-hmm. They're going to be surprised at how the game doesn't end and everybody's fighting over the results of the game.
Got it.
But those that are informed, they know, and they've taken their sides, and they're setting up their war positions and ready to go. And now, the long run, this chaos, this indecisiveness will go for about 4 months, 120 days. We're not going to get out of this phase till March. And if there's a constitutional convention by that time, that'll change everything completely. There will be a constitutional convention at some point, but the question is whether it'll be in the next 4 months. So people look at when that constitution has changed a lot of things. I don't know the whole range.
Not to cut you off, explain what there will be a constitutional convention. What does that mean? Can you define what exactly? Can you break that down?
Let's build it up. I don't like this idea of breaking it down.
Okay, let's build it up. I love that.
Build it up.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Can you build that up, Bob? Yeah, so build up the coherent picture. It's very rare. But they will question everything about the original Constitution from the 1780s. And they will propose things like maybe get rid of income tax, maybe not allow women to vote anymore, put them back in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Who knows what factions will be there to make their agenda.
Yeah.
But what will come from that? Some kind of new structure, and Trump will be the victor of that. He'll have a position much like the viceroy in the old British Empire. And he's going to have a new, he's going to be above the president.
Above the president. So you're saying there may potentially still be a president at some capacity, but there will also be a viceroy?
Or above them.
Above them. Okay.
Yeah. So that, how are citizens going to take that? I don't know how they're going to respond to this. Some people say this is a coup. They changed America. We lost our constitution. This is bad. Other people know that we need some kind of changes due to the new technologies and that, and they'd accept it. So
yeah, but so, I mean, if you think about the Constitution that was written, like you say, maybe written back in the 1700s or whenever it was written, I mean, you would think
in the 1780s.
Okay, in the 1780s, I mean. Any current individual human creator, as time passed with technology, you know, with new technology, different things happen, different things change. So we've evolved so much as humans, as creators, and you fast forward to now, you would think that it would be some time to even, you know, maybe look and say, you know what, we might need to switch things up a little. And it seems like right now, with everything happening in our world, like it's a lot of shit getting switched up and shaken up. So that does not sound too left field. But the question is, what are they going to shake up? Like, you know, you just can't be flipping shit upside down and people are like, yo, what's in here now? Like, what is that? So you think the shaking up of the Constitution, the convention, damn, I can't even get it out. That's, I'm kind of book illiterate. So, Constitution, you know.
You're damn illiterate.
Hey, look. We communicate by ASP. We don't need book smarts anymore.
That's
I don't need to be literate. So the Constitution, if we switch that shit up, is going to be an after effect of that. Is this another different type of war that we're looking at? Like, explain that.
The bigger brackets are, Obama was the last president. Trump, consciously or unconsciously, wasn't going to be your normal president. And, of course, most people say he wasn't a president. He was something else. He was running the show through Twitter, supposedly.
Yeah.
And so it was open to changes because, historically, Obama was the last president. So where is it going? Since these changes are happening all over the little global membrane we live in, which is very tiny, we're in the global membrane. It's not a global village or a global theater.
Explain the global membrane. What is the global membrane?
All of the people that have digital technology are in the same spot.
Got it.
And that spot has no dimensions. Mm. You can't say, where are we right now? I see your image, but I'm somewhere in the circuitry.
Yeah.
And you can't say, in normal 3D terms where that is. So everybody's in that circuitry. You could have 3 billion people watching us right now.
Yeah.
Right? If the word got out or something. And so where are we? We are in their presence and they are in our presence. So it's that's the way we live now. So
yeah.
In that sense, we don't have a regular body world, physical body world. We're dominated by this experience. We're probably even getting ecstasy from it. It's like a drug to be in this free zone or resonating zone.
Yeah, yeah.
But now here's on the other end, where's the world going? After the dust settles in a couple of years, there's only going to be 28 nation/empires. It's over 200 now nations
mm-hmm.
on the planet. Most of them are going to collapse and disappear and merge up with some collectivities.
Yeah.
And we'll end up with 28 nations/empires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where Trump will be viceroy of that empire, whatever the one he's in.
What's up, Boozer?
Think of that.
Bob Booz is on. Say hi to Booz. Remember Booz? We met him in Hawaii.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was here. That guy's very tall. I quiz him about what it's like to live at such a lofty height. And he was quiet about it. He didn't like top because everybody asked him about that, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's on here right now. He said, what's up?
Well, we're up. We're,
we're up, Booz. Hey, Booz, you got any questions for Bob right now, Booz, since you're on? You got any questions? I know you're going to be in and out like a crossover. He's typing right now.
Mr. C.
Booz. Booz, you got any questions?
He's blessing us. Booz, is that a friend or enemy? Y'all look good. See, Booz lives very much on the surface of life. He doesn't let any of his depth show up.
He keeps it phatic.
He's a phatic. P-H-A-T-I-C. Which is he just waves to people, hey, what's up, Booz?
Oh, there we go. He asked a question. When is the COVID going to be gone?
Not going to be gone. It's mutating in, say, about 6 weeks. Got a new virus, very bad. And let's get right to the point. And when they come out with this miracle vaccine, if you can, do not take it.
Time out. I got to repeat that. Ladies and gentlemen, when I hear things, I like to say rewind. So we're talking about the Booz asked about the COVID. Bob talks about the vaccine. Bob, tell me about this vaccine one more time.
Well, because of the herd immunity factors and other antigens and antibodies that people are developing, that's fine. But the vaccine, weirdly, will not react well with the antibodies that you have and will kill you instantly. Now, this can be a panicking statement, but who's listening? Booz is listening. I'm telling you, Booz, be really careful with the vaccine. And we don't know how much the government's going to mandate it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might have to fake it. It's actually on the COVID level and the new viruses are going to be stronger. They're actually going to be bacteria. It's very bad what's coming.
Got it.
Very bad. A lot of people are going to die.
So, hey, Bob,
Let's hope. Hey, wait, Jack. Let's hope I'm wrong. But I have to go with what the sources are saying. You know what I mean? I've got to go with stuff that you guys don't have access to.
100%.
Got to tell you what they're saying.
Yes. Yeah.
What they're saying.
Got it. So my question is to you, Bob. It's funny because one of my friends sent me an article today because he just caught the COVID, I think like maybe 2 weeks ago. He's fine now. But he put an article out and he sent me an article on Twitter that said people were saying they got tested 4 times. For the COVID at the same time, and two came out positive and 2 came out negative. So this one person got tested 4 times and at the same instance, and the tests were all like different. So my question to you, that kind of, I'm asking you now with this vaccine that the antibodies that the body may be creating, you take this vaccine and it's going to react a different way. And it's like the COVID tester don't even know what they're detecting right now. So why
Nobody.
Do you, yeah.
Nobody knows what's going on. They don't understand why this thing is happening or anything. They have to understand that they don't know. And fortunately, if you take our product, simply, you may be okay.
Yeah.
Remember, our product helped Don Trump survive on October 3rd.
Yeah, I remember you said that.
So we can, and I've talked about this on my Facebook page and that. We can't make claims that our supplements, which are actually called completements,
yep,
that they have anything to do with disease. Can't do that.
Yep.
We have to be tested like,
yep,
a drug.
Yep.
We can say there's a lot of deficiencies that people have, mineral deficiencies. And we can say our supplements, our completements, are the best for getting into your cells and completing your cells so that you're functioning, say, with magnesium at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
No other magnesium product can do that. Nobody has their products are tiny enough to get into cell. Ours is.
Got it.
It's called a PICO, P-I-C-O. We've, mm-hmm, got PICO zinc, PICO magnesium, which is actually called REMAG, because we started off 8 years ago with the product, and we put R-E in, mm-hmm, front of every product, REMAG, REMITE. But the good news is I actually occasionally hear they're stricter about masks here, wearing masks.
Yeah.
They ordered it. But if you say you're out doing energetic exercise, you don't have to wear a mask.
That's what they're
swimming.
That's what they're saying in Hawaii right now.
Yeah, in Maui, I guess all of the islands. And I do long distance swimming. I'm the only guy on Hawaii in our area, southwest Maui, doing it. Nobody else swims long.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm showing myself in supreme physical condition. So every now and then, a person will say to me, Bob, no, they don't even know me. They'll say, hey, you, where's your mask? And I say, I'm on my product. They go, what do you mean? Well, my product is so good that when I exhale, I'm making this environment, this air, better for you.
Mm-hmm.
You should come up and hang around and let me breathe on you. And so people, nobody has ever agreed with that. They turn around and walk away like I'm a maniac.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
They forget about me wearing a mask. They run.
They run.
It's actually true.
Yeah.
It's actually true. My exhalation and anybody's on a product changed the world. The world can matter.
Yeah.
So, and I don't care that you think this or anybody thinks this is crazy. We live it. We have scientific proof. We have lab testing of our product. And it's been shown that the small level that's absorbed is a fact, and the scientists that studied it at Purdue University couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So in a way, our statement is the first major scientific breakthrough of the 21st century in, call it, biology or chemistry. Our stuff has violated what people thought. The scientists who tested it said, this is not going to happen. Dr. Dean is nuts. And then when it happened, and you can hear you can read the results of the study, they're published, and you can listen to an interview that my bride did with the doctor who led the team.
Yeah.
So we've got backing for what we're saying. This extra thing of exhaling, that's strange for people.
Yeah, for sure.
But look at me, man. Look.
I know, you're fucking 98 years old, and you look like you're 39. Like, no, yep, seriously. That's the craziest part.
I'm 25.
All right, Bob. 25. All right, Bob. Listen, hey.
Praise Bob.
Hey, Bob. So this is the crazy part, right?
You said I love those little hearts.
Those hearts. You said something interesting to me that stood out in my mind. It's a conversation that you and I had privately before about when people came to you and they immediately ran away because you said like a crazy ass statement, right? Out of your mouth. And one of those things we talked about, the mega hat. The make America great again, right? And we're trying to figure out, like, why is that such a, it's like anybody that wears that hat, you're automatically judged. You're automatically looked at a certain way, and trying to figure that out in your quest to figure that out. Why do you think with that name and that red hat, disregard the fact that Trump wore, how is that communicating with people?
Well, you go back to people wearing baseball caps, which maybe started in the 80s.
Yeah.
Men and women wearing baseball hats. And why did they turn it and have the peak in the back? That's the catcher's position in baseball,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yep,
the
exactly.
Catcher puts the peak in the back.
Yeah.
Well, in the 80s, that was the supernova of one-way broadcasting. There was a lot of variety, cable TV and that, but people couldn't talk back to the media. that they could once the internet and then social media came in. Mm-hmm. So everybody was getting bombarded by a Niagara Falls of information. Everybody was in the catcher position.
Mm.
And see, why would anybody? I know back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, you wore a baseball cap. You were an idiot. You wouldn't wear a baseball cap. What changes people's attitudes about things so it becomes acceptable? So the reason was the media environment changed. And so people knew that they were bombarded by information and couldn't react. Everybody was in the catcher position. Mm-hmm. All these balls were being thrown at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody
threw the hat backwards.
Put on the ball cap. Mm. So that explains the cap phenomenon.
Well, Bob, now, I get that, Tom. I mean, I don't want to cut you off, because this is why I love talking to you, because we look at everything from a ton of perspectives and you have your sources. But, I mean, we talk about baseball caps, but we cannot disregard the fact that people started wearing baseball caps because of sports. You start seeing these athletes and these, these sports figures doing these amazing things. And, you know, as a basketball player or as a baseball player, whatever, you start seeing somebody wearing a baseball cap. You got dreams to be a baseball player, whatever. I'm going to throw that baseball cap in. So I want to talk about that, because there wasn't always sports around, you know, sports, baseball, you wear a baseball cap. So explain to me the difference in pitching and catching.
No, no.
Dickie is crazy.
Yeah, let me pitch you an interesting thing. Yes. Andy Warhol had his pulse on the sociology of the culture, at least American culture, and then he studied Marshall McLuhan, and he came up reading Marshall McLuhan in the 50s, early 60s, with the statement, everybody will be famous for 15 minutes. That's the really famous statement that Warhol said.
Everybody will be famous for 15 minutes.
What is not known on a mass level is what he said in the 70s. He said, he changed it. Not that you'd be famous for 15 minutes. He said, in 15 minutes, everybody will be famous.
Mm. So
now,
how does that happen?
Well, look at the Jumbotron. Look in the sports stadium. The camera's scanning on people. And all, I mean, Pamela Anderson got discovered that way way back there in the 80s. She was in British Columbia.
Mm.
You know that story?
No,
I don't. The Jumbotron focused on her, you know, pretty blonde, whatever. And the crowd went crazy cheering for her. So the camera stayed on her.
And then she became famous. So, that's how that kind of broke her through.
The smart Hollywood guys called her up, said, who are you? You obviously communicate, you know, videogenically.
Yeah.
And so they brought her to Hollywood and put her in the magazines or whatever. But it became because the Jumbotron made her famous. And so they make people sort of temporary famous all the time. So the media situation changed in the 70s, where everybody would be famous in 15 minutes. Now, that happened with social media.
Yes.
Everybody's a broadcaster now. Everybody's
I was about to say that. Everybody right now. I want to talk about this because, you know, I'm a millennial. You know,
don't switch. I want to finish the baseball point.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead, do that.
So Warhol also said that in the 70s, people dropped the artist as a public archetype or a public figure of renown or worship in the 50s, and they moved to sports.
Got it. Rewind. That was a good one. You said artists used to be the Warhols. They used to be the leaders or the people that people looked up to. So then in the 60s and 70s, they kind of fell, and the athletes of sports became the figures that people were following. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Got it. Okay.
Now, why did that happen? Because America is a kinetic culture, movement, with cars and dances and industrial mobility and way more industrialized, you know, back in the 20s and 30s than other parts of the world. And that's an extension of our kinetic muscles. So why are Americans have so many dances? Other cultures don't produce dances like we do, especially when after World War II with the pop and rock and roll, man, the dances change because Americans communicate by body movement more than other cultures. So the kinetic bias of Americans, the kinetic preference, made them become in the 70s as the global theater eroded everybody's local identity. Everybody became a fundamentalist and retrieved their cultural bias and put it up as, in the global showbiz of iconography, said, this is what we are.
Mm-hmm.
So sports is kinetic. So Americans realize their basic general structure, we call means, is based on kinetic bias and therefore athletes and dancing. So we continue to rule in music, but also the sports figure became more important than a guy who makes a painting or a musical composition in classical opera and stuff like that. That was puny compared to this new statement of who we really are, which was this kinetic bias.
Well,
that's what athletes took over.
But let's talk about this, because at one point, African-American athletes couldn't even play the sport. And, you know, when you watch sports now, it's nothing against African-Americans and other races. But, you know, African-Americans are usually, you know, we're better dancers. I mean, these are proven facts. There is no race thing here, but like better athletes. So when we were allowed to play, I would say that it also helped the visual bias or what people think about what sports was. I mean, you start seeing motherfuckers jumping and dunking. You like, I got to check this out. So tell me how... Was it something that happened that made people say, you know what, we got to let these people play? I mean, I know there's all these things, but is there anything in your mind that you would say that made that switch? Because like you said, you know, African-American culture, we have the dances, we have the athleticism. Like, where does that come from?
It came from television. Television is a very tactile medium, involves all the senses in an interplay. It's not a flat space like a book or a flat photographic space like a movie. There is kinesis in movies, but not like television. The television was the beginning of the membrane. Mm. People were living in one electric live spot. They had a lot of live TV in the 50s, and were sharing the same spot. Now, that's a tactile, interactive experience. The black culture is naturally tactile because they came out of Africa. And even though they got industrialized, they still had that basic tactile qualities. And they didn't have the numbing effect of literacy that was happening in Europe for 300 years. You mm-hmm. need to be numbed by literacy for a long time for the culture to become that. So most of the world is not literate the way Americans and Europeans are. They're acoustic or tactile or kinetic. Like we know, the rumors are in Africa, the Kenyans, they run for miles naturally.
Yeah.
They just ran a lot, these tribes.
Yeah.
So they're the great marathon runners. So, you know, the Africans come over here and they bring this kinetic bias. And so when color TV comes in as tactile, it's also going to emphasize the kinetic factor.
Time out, Bob. I actually want to call time out right now because I know some people may not know what tactile and kinetic is. Can you give a definition for tactile and kinetic and get right back into your conversation?
Okay, tactile is not just kinetic pressure or contact. It's the letting go, retouch, letting go.
Got it.
Drumming.
So it has to go. Okay. And then kinetic.
Tactile is rhythmic.
Rhythmic.
And resonant.
Got it.
And so if, you know, if you're in a small tribe and you're speaking, interacting with your other tribe members, like these stereotypical images we have of Africa and tribal places, you're interacting. You have a tactile interplay, talk back, all day long in the village.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You're not running off and isolating by yourself and reading silently in a corner. And so that's tactility. The kinetic is the touch part, the contact part. And that's where you press your feet down and leap, press your feet down and run.
Mm-hmm.
So there's quite an interesting interplay between tactility and kinetic. Now add to that mechanical inventions like cars, and then add to that electrical aspects of the electric motor, radio and telephones. That is another aspect of tactility, because when you get on the phone, here are these people 100 years ago that just read letters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and wrote letters. All of a sudden they're on the phone talking, interacting verbally. That opened up a new sensibility and probably made jazz a popular music because it was more resonant than the literate-based classical music, the orchestras, the symphony.
So people
were living in the radio effect, electric medium. So they were getting massaged, their sensory makeup was getting massaged in a different way.
Why does Dickie Dobbs say bumpers is the best example? Your brother said bumpers is the best example. Why would he say that?
No, I don't know what bumpers – Dick likes to interfere. I don't know what bumpers is. Define your terms, Dick. Interact yet protect.
Okay, Dickie, I see you, Dick. Okay, I guess a good point. I like that.
He's trying to get along.
He's pretty smart. You know? That guy, okay. I ain't gonna lie, your brother's smart as fuck. Okay, but let's keep going. Okay.
Fucking fart?
He said.
Okay. The car. Okay, bumping.
Okay.
I think it's the circus. It's a fair where kids bang their cars against each other.
The bumper cars.
That's a kinetic art, a kinetic sport. But anyways, the kinetic bike, when TV came in, that's a totally alien technology for the American background, the American literate republic 200 or 300 years. Okay. When it moved to color TV, as we talked in our last show, and this is a rule of media, the white face doesn't look very charismatic on the color effect of color TV. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, you bring in the Supremes and black singers, and they're amazing, non-cheer scuro, non-white and dark shading, this sort of like porcelain look of their faces.
Yeah.
They're like symmetrical.
Yeah, I look better than you right now, Bob. I look better than you right now. Look at that. You usually look pretty good, but I think I got you today, Bob. I got my hair done. I might got you today, Bob. I don't know. Your teeth are looking better than mine. Your teeth look better than mine.
I will catch up by my talking. I'm going to massage myself through talking into a porcelain position.
Okay.
So the blacks had a more charismatic face in the 60s in music. But then when sports, the preference for kinetic sports came in, the blacks are doubly charismatic. And so they become the preferred image in the increased hyperactivity of cable TV and the jumping around from space to space as you use your remote control.
And white people knew that, though, Bob. I feel like the white American, the Caucasians, they knew that, oh, shit, these black people are charismatic. They're athletes. They can do this. And they immediately created, I don't want to say these systems, because back then, African-American athletes, they had no clue on the business side. They just knew, like, I'm going to do what I'm good at. And I'm going to get paid to do it. But I think now, if you fast forward now, I think from that space, I think athletes are getting a lot more smarter and knowing that, okay, maybe we should try to own something now. Would you say that back then they didn't give us the information? Because if we knew that we were running everything, it would be a whole different ballgame. What would have changed if black people knew that, oh, shit, like, we're turning into instant stars because the color television makes us pop out?
Your tribalism was natural tribalism, non-literate individuality, was emphasized by the electric media of cable TV, cable TV, and then satellite broadcasting. So you didn't have a sense of ownership. You didn't have the middle-class literate values as you have now, but didn't have in the 50s. I mean, it's Frank Zappa used to talk about this, the terrible ripoff of all the singers, the doo-wop teenagers, by the white management in the record business, you know. That was because nobody, the blacks didn't think in terms of ownership. They thought in terms of community.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they were joining the community, putting their music into it. So historically, the blacks were vulnerable.
Got it.
Individual situation. But once civil rights came in and then other rights to get educated in a better school, they developed their literacy. But as I said before, the problem is, as they become more literate, the white world is becoming less literate.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, who becomes the big fan of kinetic tactile black culture is the white kids.
Yep, they're all doing. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and so it gets confusing about which direction to go because the consumers are not thinking of ownership anymore. They still are very literate, the white people, and they can't give it up, but they hope to be like tribal, like the blacks.
Yeah, but now, see, that's the thing. Do blacks know that? I feel like they're working backwards. Like people,
no, they don't understand these dynamics. They react instinctively in some way, but they don't have the conceptual framework. But meanwhile, the blacks know you have to move towards what they weren't, which was literate.
Mm-hmm.
And that middle class grew, but there's still problems in society, because it's all getting mixed up now that we're in the global membrane and we don't even have bodies. It doesn't matter if you're white or black or Chinese or anymore in this daily interactive situation with our texting and our digital life. So, let's see. So the MAGA hat.
Yeah, the
we
MAGA.
Come up to the MAGA hat.
Yeah.
Since people are not their bodies, their identity is not based on their race, creed, or class anymore. It's based on their tactile interactiveness with whatever media they're using. It can be Rush Limbaugh on talk radio. Why did talk radio come back in? Because that was an interactive, tactile phenomenon where the audience could interact with the host and not just receive information passively. So the dialogue nature of talk radio, a lot of people in the 90s who didn't have the money to get computers, they were attracted to that.
Got it.
And a side thing, when well, I can't answer that, but it's probably just the mail. So sorry. you had the George Wallace, the right-wing Democrat movement, 68 to 72. Wallace even got shot in the election campaign of 72. You have the semi-literate white people, not sophisticated, not super educated. Remember, education, the more you read, you become more passive. You actually become socially impotent, but you're moving into the information society. You have new roles in management you can get. And meanwhile, the whites noticed this charisma of the black in the color TV world, and they reacted politically.
Mm-hmm.
They became, quote, racist, or whatever they thought Wallace was. They thought the black race, the white bodies had to be protected. They thought that they were going down because they believed in the reality of the television and what it was doing. And it is a reality, but it creates new psychological, sociological images that you don't expect that confuses the old tradition. Okay, so many people like to say that Trumpers are racist, anti-Semitic, all this chemical body, physical body descriptions. No, they're not that. They're as disembodied as the rest of us in the global membrane. But people like to preserve their culture. And if they have a body, this explains why T-shirts took over 20 or 30 years ago. People became they communicated with their clothes because their clothes were what they were more of than their physical body, because their physical body was lost in the disembodied world of electric media, tactile media. You have to understand how we became disembodied in our general experience. We're disembodied right now. We're just images.
Yeah, we're just images.
We see pictures of our body, but we are someplace our body normally can't do without electric technology. So you can look at these changes. People started communicating what they were with their T-shirt. All right? So that happened 30 years ago, and that became a cliche. Then they started communicating with their baseball cap. And then Trump wants to bring it all together. So he doesn't have a political campaign, a political ideology. He doesn't have a government policy. He actually had nothing. And that pattern started with George Bush Jr. He didn't read. He didn't have anything to say. He just represented some position. You could say the patriarchy. But here's Trump coming along, and he's not going to have any physical body reference points or mental ideas about what society should do. He's just going to be enthusiastic and be an icon, a visual icon, a piece of clothing, a hat. And so he made it, he turned the hat forward so he could have a label on it and make a point. So he realized we were just hats on the physical level. And government deals with the physical body. It idealizes that, thinks it can bring order to society. It can't in the mixed corporate media and the crazy media environment we live in. So government is not effective. But you can be an image of government with a hat. And it worked. It made people who subconsciously knew that they were not bodies anymore. They couldn't articulate it, but their being is picking up on it. They realized they weren't bodies anymore. And so if you're going to have a symbol of what we are, make it a hat.
I mean, Bob, and hats are crazy right now. I mean, everybody, like, there's so many brands now that are making, like, they take your ordinary base.
Look at this. The environment created racism. No, literacy created racism. The printing press created racism. There was no description of people based on race before the printing press, and there also was no classification as sex. Sex and gender did not exist before the printing press. So that's right. You have to say what the environment is. So you have this new literate categorization, class. It caused class war, gender war, patriarchy domination, and tribal war or racism. But that's over the last 300 years. Once you get into the tribal effect of radio in the 20s and jazz takes over the world, that's going to have a big effect on the assumption of literate racism. We now have I would say software imagery competition. And to the degree you identify with your physical body, which you shouldn't because it's so minor, but the degree that you identify with your physical body and its images and its tribe, then you will engage in the battle on the TV screen from Wimbledon to basketball to chess. You'll identify with what you think your physical body is. And this is where what I'm talking about is the new knowledge. You've got to realize we're not going to get peace in terms of this tribal modern environment created update of racism based on TV iconography. We're not going to get over that until we start to realize how discarnate we are or virtual. And many people don't like the virtual condition. The kids are into it. They become it extremely. But this is where you've got to get, okay, now Joey's saying media created racism. Different levels of media. That's why you would read Marshall McLuhan. You'd understand why print created the original racism. Remember, Shakespeare wrote a play about Othello, a black guy. Yeah, that's before the printing press, just the beginning. And, you know, and he was a king. You know, maybe by 1900, you wouldn't have a king in a Broadway musical. Broadway thing, because it was hyper-literate racist on the literate level. But we got into a different kind of tribalism. I don't even think the word racism applies to this situation. You're identifying too much with the old physical body terms, which don't apply. What are our physical bodies? A damn hat.
Yeah,
we're a hat now.
Bob, it makes so much sense now, because I swear to you, hats are the biggest, I would say the biggest consumed product, I would say, in fashion right now. I mean, they're taking the same baseball cap, the same fitted baseball hat, but they're adding their own stitching to it. And it's become like this new wave of, like you said, why do you think? Yeah. Is
identity.
Because people are trying to find their identity. Is that why people wear hats? They're trying to, you know, figure it out. Is that what you're saying?
They're trying to save the idea that they still have a physical body. Massive nostalgia for the physical body. And the best we can come up with, since we can't find our physical body because we're too busy texting and in the disembodied tactile digital media, social media, that we will accept a symbol and a bit of clothing as your symbol for your physical body. Okay. Now, a lot of people are born into our world today and don't have any literacy. The young kids. What are they thinking of? What are they like? I keep being told by younger people that their parents have no clue how they think and be and what they share among themselves. That's because they're in a media, digital media environment that conditioned them when they were 1 year old, say, even younger. So none of the terms that I know of in my historical memory of myself apply. I remember listening to a radio. I remember watching movies in theaters, any media. They're called analog media, these older ones, before you have the digital. If someone says TV to me, I'll automatically, conditioned response, think of these old images. And so my images of my life do not apply to the kids that live different media. Yeah. They have different content in their head.
Exactly.
And people, educators don't realize this, that where there's no similarity between, say, Generation X and the young Generation Z, whatever they are after millennials.
Yeah, Gen Z.
We don't realize what their body image is. So I always go back. The first time I heard of this was in the 70s. I heard some young teenage girls looking at albums in a record store, and they came across the Beatles album, which were the biggest band ever in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And these girls, they're looking at these albums, and they're looking at Paul McCartney albums. Now he had his band Wings, and they go, oh, look, Paul McCartney was in a band before Wings. What is this band? Oh, it's something called the Beatles.
Yeah, they have no clue. Yeah.
We're made up of this imagery in our minds daily. And I think where we got today, people are numb. They're all on medication because they can't take the image demand change. They actually want to be nothing because the newer technologies make your kids different from your older brothers and sisters and all that stuff. We have no longer have human cognizing the way humanity has done for all our history. We aren't cognizing that way. We're cognizing in this weird digital membrane space. Now, you have to realize that with your children, if you're a parent. You have to realize they're not, they have no reference point that you have. Mm. And it's not like the stereotypical archetypal generational conflict, you know, every teenager boy 5,000 years ago had to assert himself against his father, this slow maturing where they rebel for a while and then they come back into the fold. They even had rituals for kids to go off and do their own vision quest. Different mm-hmm. cultures had that. But that's a slow physical body world. Now, you know, some romantic boomer started thinking, we need to make vision quests for the young kids. We need to get them to have go out in the desert and do stuff like the Native Americans did. No, man, these kids don't have time to do that. They are going through a ritual process every day with the absorbing of the information and what they have to say about it. And you can see why the blacks, they reduce it to, yo, or what's up?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a kind of social communication of something. No, there's no common point to communicate. So you agree on a grunt. Frank Zappa wrote a movie in 1964 called Captain Beefheart Meets the Grunt People. We were, the baby boomers and the younger generations were becoming grunt people for our physical bodies. But it didn't matter. It wasn't rude. It wasn't being dumb. That's a big mistake that people say the kids are dumb. They're not dumb. They're processing the new technologies and the communication environments way beyond their parents.
Yeah.
And so you have the cliche back in the 90s that the kids would program the VCR for the parents, you know, the five-year-old.
Yeah.
So our educational system doesn't deal with the different people
That
are being made.
I want to talk to you about, I don't want to get off topic, but this is one of my questions that I wanted to talk to you about, and it was the education system, and I know there are some parents on here, and one of the things I want to talk about with education and like the way kids are retrieving information or receiving information, you can get everything on your smartphone, you can get on the computer. It's like, now you're seeing less and less kids go to school in universities, but now even with this COVID, less and less kids are going to school, and then the people that are investing in the school are investing because, you know, kids are going to be in school, whoever's funding the schools. Where do you see academia in the next 3 years, 4 years?
I don't see it recovering. I don't see the educational dynamics even important. You know, look at how George Bush Jr., his charisma was he didn't read newspapers. He wasn't informed. And after the hyper-informed Clinton-Gore administration, remember Gore said he invented the internet, they're information junkies. People were tired of that. So they got a guy who didn't consume information. And then politics ended. So they brought in a strange phenomenon known as an African-American president, you know, Obama. So that was unique. And then it was over. And then Trump comes along, and he can't complete his sentences because he's actually communicating on an ESP level. He lets people fill in what he's saying. And that's smart because you get all kinds of different people who have different preferences in their media diet. So there's nothing common. So you just start a sentence and let anybody fill it in. And they think they're participating with you. Okay. So then what happens? What's the next presidential image? A guy who doesn't, he's not in completing his sentences like Trump did. He couldn't even complete his syllables. And then he withdrew from communication completely. Do you realize how absurd it is to run a political campaign without showing up?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So, did Biden not show up? So I asked somebody today just messing around, like, yeah, they were saying that Biden had campaign. You know, they had campaigns, driving campaigns. He did stuff social distance way. Do you think that was a way for them to say just because nobody was going to his rallies and stuff? Can you explain that? Because I didn't see much, you know, campaigning or rallying of Biden. You know what I mean? Only when they had the debate, but I didn't see.
He didn't do any.
Oh, he didn't do any.
And when he did show up for a rally, his audience were automobiles beeping their horns. I mean, it's so absurd. This guy was he's almost like a robot. He's a ridiculous cloned robot who's not going to emphasize human communication too much because that's not relevant anymore. He kept his physical body out of the fray by pretending he was protecting himself from COVID and stuff like that. The point is, if he did get a huge number of votes and it was legal, I guess we're going to find out, then his charisma was based on the fact he had nobody and no communication skills. Now, this is how wacky we are, and maybe that communicates to people who are texting and don't deal with physical bodies anymore. I hear from sociologists that people over the last 10 years aren't interested in sex anymore.
They're beaten off. They have, porn is free.
What?
Porn is free. That's why.
Yeah, there's the imagery of it. Yeah. And also because they've got their other body, the texting body.
It's true. They're always thinking about that. Yeah.
They're experiencing other levels, which is way more richer than a sex act. Sex act might feel good for a few minutes, but if you're involved in a conversation texting and you like what you're doing, then go on for a couple hours.
Yeah, it's true.
Plus,
you're
absorbing other imagery.
There's a device that came out called the T-Mobile Sidekick. Everybody knows what the fuck. It was a device by T-Mobile. It was a phone and almost like a mini computer, right? And you would flip it up and you would start typing. That and BlackBerry phones was the beginning of like people could not stop fucking typing. Like, is that a tactile? That is a tactile experience, right? Like back and forth, text. You can't get out of that. Like even now, like sometimes I catch myself. I'll be on Instagram. I'll be like, God damn, I've been on this shit like for a minute. Like it's been an hour. I've been on this thing, and I won't say I haven't been accomplishing anything, but like it's a huge phenomenon. Never has it ever been a time where people could literally go sit here in one spot and just be here for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Where did that come from?
Well, you think it's a little Black Mirror. No, it's going to your brain as a hologram, as an environment, every image. And that's way more interactive and fulfilling than I'm looking out the scene that stays the same.
Yeah, it's nothing happening. Yeah.
Nothing happening there. But if I can stimulate myself, I mean, it's actually a disgrace that we dump this into the people without people being ready for it, you know? But that's the way reality is. It's always surprising us with new experience. We can't stop reality. You can't stop the world, so we couldn't stop media. Now, somebody I noticed a little while ago said, first of all, Marathon Music, is that Kenley?
Shout out Kenley.
Kenley's in town?
Kenley.
Okay.
Young lady.
Somebody said the kids want to be ballers and rappers.
Yeah.
Okay. Ballers are sports people.
Ballers is, you know, that's a double meaning. So, Bob, let me break down ballers to you. Well, actually, it could be a triple meaning. A baller could be someone that has a lot of money that balls. Like, you go out to the club, you buy bottles, you buy girls, you do whatever, you balling out. And there's also the athlete, you know, that's a baller. And then they have this new term of calling someone a baller that's just like cool. Like, oh, that kid's a baller. Like, you could just be cool and now you're a baller. I mean, you know, so many terms of this one word, but kids just want to be cool, basically. That's what they want to be. They want to be cool motherfuckers. They ain't got to worry about shit. And they can, you know, they have their own rules. That's
now,
how
you know
the new kids are.
Yeah, the physical body wants to be cool because the large part of their experience since cable TV is endless flow of imagery and sound and kinesis and movement. I mean, you're on a drug. You might as well say you're on ayahuasca or heroin or LSD or something or ecstasy.
When you're on
your
phone?
On a constant stimulation of yourself in the media, in your environment, in your digital media. And so you want your chemical body to live like that, to be in a state of ecstasy and to have a flow, no interruption.
Yeah.
And you don't know that you've been conditioned to have that bias, that preference. You've been conditioned to have flow. And so they say that communism or socialism is going to take over and people are going to turn the government into their god. They just want to be taken care of.
But that's what it seems like. People want the government. It's almost like people make the government bigger than them. That's what it's seeming like. You're right. Like people are making the government bigger than them. Like not saying that you shouldn't follow rules, but it almost feels like people want that kind of like security. Like safety, like, oh, we got a good government, we're good. Where does that come from?
Okay. Well, again, it's the physical body, the obsolete, sidelined physical body is getting so addicted to the other bodies, the digital chip body, that they haven't got time to take care or energize the physical body. Mm-hmm. So they want the government to put it on welfare. Mm-hmm. Depending well, there's different kinds of welfare, probably. I don't know how much you're going to get, but you're going to get a basic guaranteed income. That's what people want. They want their physical body taken care of because they don't live in the physical body in the majority of their daily experience. You got to realize that this is the main fact of our time. The chemical body. There used to be a song in 1969, in the year 2525, there'd be nothing for you to do. Your hands or arms will hang limp by your side. But they didn't project the media effect, the media environment into that song. They just talked about how ridiculous the past of the chemical body came. But the reason people could write a song like that is that they were getting that experience with television, movies, and radio. Very innocent compared to today. But it was the beginning of the physical body being sidelined and your brain or your gut being stimulated through your senses in your face, your head, and then your body. So ballers and rappers, let's think of ballers as sports figures.
Yeah.
That's the kinetic bias of Americans. So they want to have constant physical activity. If they're going to use their physical body, they want it to be stimulated all the time in a playful situation, not a boring routine assembly line job. That's painful. So if they they don't mind doing sports out in the backyard or in the parking lot, it's stimulating your body. But at the same time, they also want to be on the TV body and performing. Music is a small part of the rap world. The rap world is an attitude. It's clothing. It's an environment of physical decadence, maybe, or violence, depending. Why did all the girls agree to be hoes on the black videos, the rap videos, after the so-called training from their boomer parents who are literate and developed feminism and all that? Why did the girls violate that? Now, you could say, oh, girls like to be different from their parents. No, it's more than that. You've got to realize that those chemical body psychologies don't work. The psychology of kids rebelling as parents, not the issue. They are living in much media variety, and they're willing to take their physical body and be a slave to whatever they think the new environment is going to do to it. So the rapper is the symbol of the environment taking you over, the global membrane, the chip body. That's what a rapper is. They don't have any semantic meaning, any story in their lyrics. It's more grunt people stuff.
Yeah. Now it wasn't always like that. Now the new rap is more just, yeah, mama, yeah, get it, got it, going it, bought it, I got it, about to get the whip, got it.
They're being like
hit
Biden.
It. Yeah. Oh, that's...
They're being like Biden. They can't even finish their syllable. They're being syllables. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing that, you know, so Biden said, if you're black, you have to vote for him.
Somebody said, okay? Jesus is the only way. We need help. But I'm not even going to comment
on
that.
Who said that?
I don't know who it is. I don't want to get even into that.
Okay, but just that statement became controversial. So literate people like Candace Owens come in with literate arguments showing how ridiculous and racist Biden is by saying that.
Yeah.
By even having a category of black people. But actually, on the media level, and it's almost post-media, this weird digital world we're in doesn't look like a TV set. It's a screen. Let's call it a screenal economy, a screenal experience. On the screen, what was I going to say? So he says black. Oh, yeah. The rappers of the last 2 years are grunting. Biden is the grunting president. You are part of the political image that Biden brought in if you're in the rap world, which is expressing the physical body world of people on the street who can't make a sentence. That takes too long to say a sentence, man. You just grunt.
Yeah.
Because think of people as living at the speed of ESP. The grunting doesn't mean you're stupid. It means you're hypersensitive to the interaction of perception in your texting world. So we actually live in a very super sensitive psychic reality of ESP happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that all this stuff is here immediately, quickly, and go from one medium to the next, that's like ESP. That's rapidity. So we live in the most fantastic, utopian, discarnate, disembodied world that nobody predicted. A few people, like McLuhan, got onto it, but nobody really saw what we'd be doing. And so here we are, living in a world of ESP. And so if anybody says a sentence to you, whether they're literate or not, it's not relevant to the speed of what's going on. So that's why now I'm finally getting some hearts. People like that one.
Yeah.
This idea of instant interaction is so dominant. I wrote a paper 20 years ago called Cloning ESP. We have cloned the ESP function in humans, and it's daily interaction now. So if people are living like that more and more, what happens to social order that's dictated by sentences or statements of authority? Nobody takes that seriously anymore. They don't live it. Mm-hmm. So being black is being Biden.
Are you saying the communication-wise, though, is that why you think that there's so much connection where – because it's the communication. But at the end of the day, Trump doesn't finish sentences, so there's also a connection with – because we – at the end of the day, I believe as people, we're so busy texting and there is no more literacy like that, you know? So what is the connection, and is there even a connection there with either side?
No, I say – 5 years ago, Trump was charismatic because he didn't finish his sentences. Mm-hmm. He was starting to enter us into the grunt world.
Mm.
Now, we've had a lot of changes with technology in the last 5 years. McLuhan used to say we live 200 years every 12 months compared to slower, less technology-based societies for thousands of years. Okay, so we've lived many, many thousands of years over the last 60 months. And so we're going to have more of a caveman grunter image to be the bringing unity to the disembodied hive. And so a guy shows up who's not even going to present his chemical body in the election. Mm-hmm. I'm actually making sense of what Biden was. This has never been said before. What I'm saying is a whole unique way to look at the Biden phenomenon. From the literate journalist point of view, like on Fox News, they said Biden's ridiculous. He's not making a program. He's not campaigning. He's not meeting people. He's not doing debates. He's doing nothing. Well, he was smart. He had no body. And then he synthesized with everybody's body and the COVID by saying, it's disease. I'm sick like you. And if I'm going to have a body, it's going to be sick. But I don't have a body, and I don't need to present in the election. What did he offer? He didn't have a program. I don't know. What he offered, I'm not Trump. And you people should hate Trump. You should hate that old, slower, super literate guy who actually completed his sentences. Mm-hmm. That's disgusting. That's fascism.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have communism under me where we just grunt together if we even show up.
But, Bob, I would say the disconnection, it is, you know, allowing a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are like, yo, at the end of the day, you know, you have your own individual power. And at the end of the day, some people are like, yo, man, like, I can't live under Trump. I can't live under Biden. There's so much shit everywhere, like you said, in this global membrane. And at the end of the day, it's allowing some people to say, well, you know what? I'm going to just do my own thing. And I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to be a CEO. I'm going to do whatever. And they're just doing their own thing. What would you say would be the best thing? Whatever happens when this election is complete or whatever the votes get counted, what would you recommend to people to be able to continue to evolve and continue to, you know, reap the benefits of it is? We live in America, the best country, you know, that's ever been created.
Okay. Not necessarily if you think technology is a curse on people. Mm. There are a lot of people who don't like the isolated life of the digital world. You know what I mean? They don't feel comfortable in it. So America has become a bad place for them, you know, if everybody's texting. But so you were saying, okay, if you're on welfare, the government's keeping you function so you can keep texting. That's one situation. The other ideal is to make a whole bunch of money as an entrepreneur so I can go on I can have my own welfare so I can keep texting. See, humans have always been at basic and the essence level communicators.
Mm-hmm.
What did all that speech that people yacked all these centuries? It didn't lead to anything, the speech, but they love talking.
Yeah.
Okay. So the fact that we have so many media and ways to communicate has shown that we are at essence. Whoever voted that we were basically not food eaters or tool makers, but communicators has won the argument today. Because everybody lives to have super communication. And it's not any literate, conclusive, meaningful communication. It's in a way, it's like sex, but sex with other bodies, other kinds of structures.
You can communicate with anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Communicate with anything. So people live today to get to a position, either on welfare or through private wealth, so that they can keep texting and living in the chip body. That's a huge mistake humanity's made. If this is going to lead to a civil war and all kinds of other crazy stuff, maybe even bigger wars, because we never understood what the chip body was going to do to us. And nobody cares. Right now, we're a chip body experience for people.
Well, you got
to
explain what the chip body is. I don't think chip body is basically the body that we're looking at on this cellular device.
Yeah.
That's the chip body.
It's not a physical body.
Yeah.
It's an extension of your nervous synapses, your brain system. However you imagine that the circuits in your brain, we've externalized that. You're living in circuitry. Driving in a car with wheels going somewhere is burdensome. You want to be able to get there immediately, which you can with this electric circuitry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I'm providing the basic facts that should be entered in every argument, in every social discussion. If you're not talking about what we are, you haven't begun the argument properly or the quest for truth. Now, there's no evolution in this situation. There's just reciprocal stimulation. So the idea of going someplace is obsolete. You temporarily become a drug dealer or some other means of getting money, get into the military, get some money that way, save it up, and then you drop back into civilian life and you quickly try to make a product or something and make money so you can relax.
So everybody's engage. Working to relax. At the end of the day, but that is what you want to do. Like anyone that gets a job is, that's the thing. Some people don't work to get wealthy. Some people just work for comfortability. Some people work because they want to get rich. Some people don't want to work at all. And like you said, they'd rather get a check for free. You know what I'm saying?
Well, people work because they can't sit still. Their hands go crazy. Mm. So they have to move around.
But that's you need money too, Bob. You need money too. You need money to survive. I mean, that's a basic fact.
I don't know if you can say we need money. Money is part of the exchange, but you need to communicate.
You need to communicate.
And part of communication is money. You get side effects. You get money if you communicate in some situation. But the preference is to stimulate yourself constantly. Constant orgasm on a mental level, on a holographic image intake, and image broadcasting. Look at the fun of typing and seeing yourself typing and having people respond to what you said. And then you might tell, most people will start a fight just to make it interesting. So we're hyper-communicating. There was a famous book. Now, to make it, even now, if I bring up the movie Matrix 20 years ago, there are young people who don't know the movie The Matrix, but it was a huge movie at the time. But in the movie, it was based on a thinker named Baudrillard. He's a content. He's mentioned in the movie. Baudrillard wrote a book in 1987, The Ecstasy of Communication. And that was the perfect title as we started to move into computers and the chip body and digital reality in the mid-80s. That's what people were going to get into, the ecstasy of communication. So I cannot, look here. Somebody's saying, Jeff, open us up. Let people in. The youth want free ship. That's why they vote okay. Yes, they want to make the government their god. They want free shit. No, let's say it differently. Their chemical body is a nuisance. Their physical chemical body is a nuisance. They want that cared for while they live in the other bodies. The people don't want free shit. They want to have time to engage in their texting and media and YouTube consumption and whatever they're doing on Instagram. All that amazing luxury of stimulation is what they want. And, to do that, you've got to feed your body. Well, I haven't got time to feed my body. You feed it. And so that makes nutrition go down. Just give me, what do they eat? What do kids eat today? Pop? I don't know.
What soda, chip. I mean, whatever. Shit, I don't know what kids eat. I know what I eat.
Soda and chip.
Yeah, pizza. Same thing. Yeah.
And one of the larger consequences of having a chip body and forgetting about the physical body is that you're going to see a lot more in diseases and ill health in younger people earlier. Because they're not having any basic nutrition. That's why you have to take our products as your food, because we give you the mineral elements that everybody needs to survive.
Yeah, so, I want to rewind that, Bob. That makes a lot of sense. That people aren't eating as well because they're so engaged in the chemical body, which is the body. I mean, the chip body. I'm sorry, the chip body of us. Yeah. Texting, communicating, social media, YouTube. Then you think about it, a lot of times you'd be on it and you'd be like, damn, I didn't eat. Let me order something quick. You know what I mean? Like, that does make sense. And that does, you see a lot more of younger people now. Like, younger people are getting sicker faster. Not disregard like a COVID factor. I mean, just anything. Like,
they get cancer way too early.
Yeah.
All kinds of cancer.
Yeah.
So there's a plague on the chemical body because we brought in a new body, the chip body. There were phases. We brought in the movie radio body 100 years ago. Then we had the TV body. Then the cable TV body. Then the super digital interactive body. And that's what I'm calling the chip body. And it obsolesced. It sidelined the physical body. And it made people angry about any imposition of an institutional rule. They don't go to school. They don't want that shit to happen. They don't have proper education like they used to. Nobody can remember anything on the book level. So training the mind for the chemical body has been tossed aside. And luckily, if Biden gets in and brings in a communist government, yeah, you're going to be taken care of. But there's other cultures in the other parts of the world who are not at the same level as us. Mm-hmm. They're going to take advantage of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to raid us and nuke us or whatever because they can. And we're not paying attention to that.
Yeah.
So there's so many disservices of our situation that you can see why there would be big wars
at every level. Even, at every level.
Yeah.
So
Go ahead.
So I was going to ask you a question about everything that's happening right now. Like, I even see my peers with this, you know, the election and everything, but it seems like this is it's making people so far disconnected from themselves. Because everybody's worried
from
about
physical body.
From their physical body. Yeah. Exactly.
You got to say different.
Okay.
It's making people disconnected from the physical body, but super connected to their chip body.
Yeah.
That's where the ecstasy is.
Yeah. But
when
I talk about the disconnection, I'm talking about, like, you know, the disconnection from worrying about yourself. A lot of people are very worried about outside things that are happening. And we're forgetting to think about ourselves.
That's the TV body. We're going to distinguish the TV body from the chip body. Chip body is by yourself doing your own thing, interacting with whoever.
Mm-hmm.
But the TV body is the imagery of the world.
Everything you're seeing.
Mm-hmm. They're over there in England. The photographic icons of our world, so-called universe, the Hubble telescope and images of space and images of deserts in Africa and stuff like that. That is what people think is their physical body's world. But it's only imagery. And if they travel to places, they find out it's way different from the imagery you have. But people sweat and are concerned over what the image should be. Many people objected to Trump because his image didn't fit what they thought a president should be. Definitely way different from what Obama did.
Yeah.
So people are conflicted in their dead minds with this sorting out the imagery of the TV body while at the same time processing their ESP in the chip body. Look at the levels we live on. And this is what should be taught in school. Not the Constitution, not the right to have freedom of speech. That's bullshit. Everybody's got freedom of speech and freedom of expression, freedom of communication at many levels. And some people enjoy somebody trying to stop you. That creates a little fight in yourself, a little adrenaline. So we have to I'm bringing in a new language. There used to be something called Esperanto 150 years ago or 100 years ago, where they thought, okay, we're all inside the small global village, thanks to the telegraph and airplanes and radio and telephones. Let's all get on the same page with a written language. So they tried to compose a written language called Esperanto that everybody could learn, and then everybody would be sort of unified, was the fantasy, with one global language. What upset that was Louis Armstrong. He unified the world before jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And before Esperanto, the literate language, with jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got into the same dance. Okay, I'm saying the new Esperanto is my five bodies. Learn the five bodies. think about
right, let's go through is- let's go through each five. I mean, I know it a little bit, so I'll try to explain, and if I'm wrong, you tell me. So the chip body is this body that we're looking at right now. Like, you see me on the cell phone and I see you, and we're communicating through this chip, this device. This is
right.
Okay.
But let me add to that.
Okay.
The texting, the emails, the response of the audience, they're part of this show as much as we are.
Got
this
it.
This interactivity, not just our static
not just
imagery
us.
Of
Got
ourselves.
It. Okay. And then the TV body is the things that we see, only the things that we see, whether it's YouTube, whether it's the television, whether it's on your cell phone, whatever the world is basically portrayed and how you see it. And is that what you, how you would break down?
It would be a passive reception. You receive the what you see, and it's given to you, and you don't argue with it.
You don't argue.
You can argue with the texting situation. You don't argue. You accept it as, oh, that's what Los Angeles looks like.
Oh, you can't. Know? Yeah, you can't do nothing if the TV says, hey, something. You can't be like, hey, motherfucker. You can, but it's like there is no like back and forth. Okay, got it. And then so TV,
right.
TV body, chip body. What's the next body you talked about?
Astral
body. So tell me, is that like the dream? I mean, I guess the simple terms would be like the bot, like when you, if you're having dreams, you're going somewhere else, you wake up like, oh, I was just somewhere in the dream. Like, explain the astral body, and maybe in your way, so maybe people can understand exactly what you mean by that.
It's the realm of experience that implies there's more than your physical body. Where do you go when you dream? Where do you go when you have spiritual experiences or strange experiences? Where do you go when you take drugs? These other realms, imaginary or not, are a part of every culture. No culture believes that they are limited to what they see or hear. They're not limited to the physical. They operate in the physical up till recently. They operate in the physical, but they had a realm of imagination or thought or actual strange experiences that implied other worlds that you couldn't see.
Got it.
So that's the astral history.
All right.
All the writing about religion, the writing about yoga or spiritual experiences in different cultures. That's all the astral body.
Okay.
So not limited to the physical.
All right. So what's the next? So we got chip, astral, TV. What's next?
Physical body.
Physical body is my body right here that I can touch, that I can feel, that I put clothes on. That's the physical body.
Now, I changed the term. Since the chip body is physical, no matter how...
Time out. You're saying the chip body is physical because right now you're seeing me on the screen. Is that why you're saying it's physical? Because you can see me physically.
My brain is registering experience. So,
got it.
So the chip body is physical. The astral body is another kind of physical, more ephemeral. And the TV body is physical. So I don't call this body... the physical body, a physical body. I call it a chemical body because the knowledge that chemistry brought in 200 years ago and then built up chemical scientific knowledge that the West dominated on till recently, that whole understanding of what your body's parts and elements and atoms and molecules are made up of, that is...
Dick Dobbs is crying laughing, body. Bob. Why is he crying laughing
Who?
Right now? Your brother.
Well, he's heard me talk about my body for 25 years. He's sick of it.
Oh, okay.
And he can't believe
that we're talking about it.
He can't believe that I'm still, what is it, pumping that stick. But I think it's very important. I've created a global Esperanto.
Got it.
If we agreed that we have five bodies, then all discussions would have to be filtered through the four bodies. Now, there's a fifth body.
Yep.
Somebody likes that. The fifth body is what we don't know.
Yeah, the stuff we don't know.
I call it the mystery body, the unknown reality. We don't know how much the now, how big it is. How big is the now? How much does it involve? How many lives do we actually have? So all those factors that we can't know with our normal knowing today is the fifth body, the mystery landscape, the mystery body.
Got it.
So those are the five bodies.
Well, Bob, right now, if a human had to say, you know what, I can only choose one of these five bodies, what would you think now is the, you would say chip body is the one that you probably pay attention to the most because.
You don't choose your body. They're given to you. Your physical
no, I'm
body
saying if you can only have one, body. If you only could, if there was, if you could have one body, what would be the body that you would want to be your body that you would have to only communicate with or whatever?
Well, if you're an adventurous type of person, you'd want to have the mystery body. You want endless anomalies and weirdness unfolding. Mm-hmm. People look for that in drugs, psychedelic drugs. Mm-hmm. But on a practical, more practical level, you'd want the chip body because it's constantly stimulated.
It's constantly
stimulated. And people are living that. They're living with, they have voted for the chip body. Mm-hmm. That's another point that's going on. Everybody has voted for the chip body. That's the one they want to live in. And so I haven't got time to support my chemical body. So you feed me, mm-hmm. feed me or kill me, you know? Mm. So that explains why the young kids, more and more than previous generations, it began with the baby boomers. They, for some reason, created something called the new left. They became more socialist oriented in the 60s. But that was because of the communal effect of television and the global membrane of television. And each generation has been more collectively organized, but not so much for Generation X and whatever's before the millennials. They were sick of the information overload, but they didn't have the chip body yet. So they actually became, you could say, capitalists or yuppies or just selfish. It actually was a term for the 70s called selfish. The me decade. The me decade was what Tom Wolfe called the 70s. And that was a reaction.
Everybody was thinking about themselves.
That was a reaction to the TV landscape before it became a TV body dominating everybody. So there was all kinds of bitterness in the Generation X gang. They felt that all the neat stuff had been done by their older brothers and sisters. So
and they didn't get a piece of it. Yeah.
This sort of dark mood of the generation of the 70s, that got lifted once people had the computer, especially the really young kids. So we moved into a chip body. We solved the depression and the despondency of the Generation X period, 70s and 80s. And, you know, people hated the Reagan era. They hated Reagan like they hated Trump, the younger people, because he represented this image domination that was happening that you couldn't argue back with it. So we really solved the problem, that problem, with the chip body. Amazing interactivity. But now nobody knows what is solid. And you can say maybe the other kids, the really young kids, they don't need solidity in their chip body. They don't need to believe in anything. There's always constant input, always constant information that you're receiving and putting out. Look, you can, you know, can become a YouTube influencer.
Right away.
You're a nobody, but you come up with some interesting stuff on the chip body level. You get charisma and you get money.
Yeah.
But you have a problem. You got a physical, you got a chemical body that needs to be fed. Mm. Now, here's an interesting thing about someone pointed out to me. Since people are eating and living on non-nutritious food, the food is totally empty.
Mm-hmm.
Why are people, even though they're sick and that, why are they still alive? Why aren't they starving? Because we don't need food, really. And because we have the chip body to distract us, we can begin to notice, hey, I don't eat properly. I don't need to eat food. I eat crap.
Yeah, everybody, at the end of the day, but also, people have made it hard to eat good. Like, if you don't have a lot of money, it's hard to eat. Like, you know, you want to grass fed, you want to do these things. Like, it's almost like it's, if you start to really think about it, it's like, as the world evolved, they made it seem like this, you have to survive with eating organic this. And then, like, they jumped the prices to fucking double. So is that all part of the economy trying to boost like this whole thing up? Like, how do you explain that? How do you see that?
Well, the health movement came in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. People are trying to get organic food. That was the first gasp and the dying throes of the chemical body. The chemical body said, well, if I'm going to eat, I'm going to make it real pure. Mm. I'm going to make a specialty out of it. It's not necessary because I got the TV landscape. Before we have bodies, we have landscapes. Mm-hmm. So the first half of the 20th century is a movie landscape, radio landscape. When you bring in digital technology, it shrinks the landscape into what I call bodies. Body becomes an organ.
Dickie, send me some bread.
Sorry. Beg your pardon?
Dickie Dobbs said we're supposed to just eat the money. Okay, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, maybe, he says. So you can see that as the chemical body started to be noticed. Before, it would be swallowed up by the TV body and the chip body.
Mm-hmm.
People turned it into an art form. They wanted to purify it. So that was the impulse to get organic food. And then as the chemical body became more sidelined, nobody cared to keep it perfect anymore. And so I know.
Time out. I'm going to break this down again for people listening. When he says the chemical body is sidelined, ladies and gentlemen, he's basically saying this body of you that you can touch and feel, you sideline that because you're too busy texting, on YouTube, engaging in that. So just if you hear him saying the chemical body is sidelined, that's what he's saying. Your natural physical body has been sidelined due to the engaging of texting in that digital space, just to break that down. But, okay, sorry to cut you off. What'd you say?
I think I'm looking better than you, Jack. That's why
I'm the
only
closer.
White man who can catch up to a black guy.
Nah, Bob, there's no way. I mean, I will say this, to be 98 years old, I mean, you look damn good to be 98. You don't look better than me, but you look really, really good for 98, Bob. I will say, I mean, goddamn. But anyway, let's get back to the real shit.
Win.
Let's get, look at your brother, he's out of control.
Dick Duff always wants to have an orgy.
Yeah, he's out of control. Something's wrong with him, man.
He's always trying to get an orgy going. He's ridiculous.
Dickie, do you have any questions?
It's the Christmas time and the family's all together. You haven't seen all your family. You all get together. Dick's trying to advocate the family to have an orgy.
Dickie's crazy. Dickie Dobbs, please ask a question right now. Dickie Dobbs, ask a question. We want to see.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
What the fuck do you want to know, Dickie?
Bread of life. He actually did ask, but he said bread of life.
Yeah, we can't get into that yet, though.
Are you seriously? Yes, I'm seriously. I'm also frivolously 98. I'm all moods. Thompson is where? William Irwin Thompson died. He wants to break up the fact
he
that
died? William Thompson died. When he died?
Yeah, he died last. He died on the 8th or 9th, last weekend.
Oh, really? Fuck.
Yeah.
And I know, I mean, William Irwin Thompson is somebody, you know, that you have always, you know, told me to read his books. You know, well, I've read Marshall McLuhan, and another philosopher is William Irwin Thompson that I could never get to. And I like that Dick Dobbs talked about that, because William Irwin Thompson, he explains the upside down. And I feel like a lot of people in society right now, shit is flipped upside down. And I just feel like people are just looking at things different ways. Like the things that are ordinary are not ordinary. Like shit is really flipped upside down. So since William Irwin Thompson died, let's give a little ode to him. And can you explain what he meant by the upside down and kind of talk about the times that we're living in now in a society?
William Irwin Thompson was born in 1938 and he lived 82 years, died last week. He grew up in Los Angeles, Irish immigrant, and he didn't have a very good supportive educational life, but he was very smart. So he ended up getting to college, and I think he went to Cornell, and he excelled and became an early professor, and then he went to MIT. But MIT in the mid-60s was caught up in the arguments over the Vietnam War, and he did yoga. So he was a contemplative private person. So he decided he didn't want to be in the noise, nothing compared to the noise of today, but what was noisy in the 60s with the new media, satellites and TV and computers. He withdrew to Canada, and he started teaching at York University, and he became famous for his ability to talk. He's an early rapper. He could talk ideas rapidly and jump all
rapidly.
Over the place. So he got very charismatic. And then he decided to drop out and start a commune in the Hamptons. In outside New York City, on Long Island. And so he got these intellectuals. He tried to start a university with the top minds of his day in the 70s, like Gregory Bateson. And he got books published. And he was seen as the new Marshall McLuhan for the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a good awareness of Marshall McLuhan. He understood media dynamics. But he decided to unite religions, the ecumenical movement. He would say that yoga... Deep yoga was the ground of all religions, of all astral body. He emphasized the astral body, the yoga experience, you know, in-depth yoga. And so he said, okay, if we all agree yoga is the ground here, then we can bring together, the Jewish religion, the Catholic, the Protestants, the Muslim, the Hindu, the Buddhist, all these religions he tried to bring together in an intellectual context. understanding McLuhan and media effects and how we don't need to have the old-fashioned kind of concepts about religion. And he advocated that for 10 or 15 years into the 80s and early 90s. But as the chip body took over, he realized the astral body was being sidelined.
Time out. Once again, people that are on here, when he says as the chip body took over, he's basically talking about your black phone, the black mirror, your cell phone. As soon as that came in, as soon as technology came in, Thompson switched his thoughts. Carry on, Bob. Sorry to cut you off. I just want to keep explaining.
And Jake is right. Southampton was where he was in the 80s. And anyway, in the 70s. So he started to get weak on his purpose of uniting religions. So by 2000, he thought it was so obsolete to worry about the astral body because everybody was engaged in an extension of the astral body, which is chip body. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're able to astral project and travel all over the place, you have those spiritual gifts called the astral body. We're doing that 100 times more by the chip body. Look how many places I can travel, occupy my mind, scenario.
At one point, you can go anywhere you want. You can go to fucking Hawaii, right? I can go to Hawaii on my phone right now. I can literally type in Hawaii, and I'm fucking looking at visuals in Hawaii, and I'm in Hawaii. So basically what he's saying is there was never a time ever, like ever, at this speed that you could literally be like, you know what, man? I want to fucking see what it's like in Costa Rica. And then you have millions and millions and millions of houses. You can start to create your own fantasy of what you want it to look like. But there has to be an effect to this of being able to imagine everything. Like you said, you're always stimulating. You're always feeling these moments of bliss. And of course, you want to live in moments of bliss and be able to live and monetize and do things. But what is the adverse effect of this chip body doing to many people right now? Because like I said, I even catch myself. I do my things. I make sure I was on Instagram for like 15 minutes and I'm doing something. I'm like, let me get off this shit. Let me shut my phone. I have to put my phone sometimes like away from me because I don't want to pick that shit up and start doing something else. And I feel like it's almost like that shit is overpowering people. Like I literally did something, right? I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to wake up today and I'm not going to fucking touch my phone. I'm not going to do it, right? And I was thinking about no way, right? I'm not touching it for the first, hour. Somebody calls me. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to answer this call. So it's like, even though you want to try to not engage, you're going to always be engaged because the communication, that's the way we communicate these days. But I believe that this communication, this access to this technology and these moments of bliss is also taking people down this fucking rabbit hole. And like your brother said, everybody's living in a box. Like you're living in a...
It was predicted by the Bible. A lot of people have heard of this phrase, the mark of the beast. You know that phrase?
Mark of the beast. Yeah.
Now, in the Bible, it says that it's a mark that was put on your forehead, and nobody will be able to engage in normal daily commerce without the mark. Mm-hmm. And it will be a kind of slavery. That's how literate people interpreted the image for 500 years. The mark of the beast. All the religious sects talk about it.
They always talk about it. Yeah, of course.
This bad news, this antichrist that was coming. Yep. Well, the mark of the beast is totally logical if you understand that it's describing the chip body.
We got to bring that one back right there. We got to bring that motherfucker back. I got to say that again. You just told me that basically, or what you're telling us, is basically what they say is the mark of the beast is basically the chip body, which is your cell phone. Like, you're consumed in this shit all day. And if you're not able to overcome this mark of the beast or this cell phone or this chip body, it's going to drive your ass in a fucking hole that it's going to be tough to get out. And I can see how it's impossible to get off your phone. You don't know where to go unless you ask Siri or Waze. Like, I know now, like, back in the day, I would go on MapQuest and you would do things, you would know where to go. But now it's like, shit, what the fuck I'm gonna know directions for? All I gotta do is sit back and hit Waze. Waze, put here, boom, I'm there. So it makes everything a lot easier and great. But on the flip side, if you don't get control and know or know that this chip body and this marker, whatever you want to call it, could also take you the other way. Because like you said, there's been days where you'd be on Instagram for like 8 hours. Like, what the fuck is going on?
You can't do commerce without your cell phone, your smartphone. You have to be available to get the job interview or whatever it is you're doing. You have to. Like, I don't have a cell phone because I'm not economically responsible. I don't have to earn a living.
Correct, Joe. Your phone is the beast. Correct.
That's the only reason why I don't have to have a cell phone. If I'm not a normal functioning citizen, I've got to pay.
Bob, you're a trillionaire. You don't need to worry about shit. But
right.
That's why you're on here.
That the average person has to have the chip body. And now they're worrying that the 5G is going to put a chip in yourself. They worry that Bill Gates is going to bring a chip. Yes, those are extensions of the chip body fact, which is the mark of the beast that we've been having already for 20 years. And this may be why young kids, I don't know what they're doing today, but I've heard over the last 5-10 years that young kids are all depressed.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're aware of this tyranny of the mark of the beast that's happening. We didn't get it announced. It just snuck in as an environment. And so we're up against that. And that's some of the projections are that Trump was going to bring in a fascist completion of the mark of the beast or other dictators. Mm-hmm. But they worried that Trump was leading us to fascism. And we can't have fascism in the traditional chemical body way. You don't live it. You are totally free to drug yourself on your chip body. All those worries of social 1984, Orwell's 1984, or Aldous Huxley's Brave New World do not apply. We are in a utopic situation, but also a dystopic situation.
Yeah,
depending on how much you look at it.
That's what I was going to say.
Map it out.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that I'm not going to say I'm worried about because I've done my knowledge. I've been you've been a mentor for me for over 4 or 5 years, and Jermaine, and you've kind of taught us all this digital media stuff and explained to us what's really going on. And that and that's part of the reason why I wanted to make sure that I could bring you on here so we can give other people this knowledge. And I want to get back to this utopia and this, like, yeah, it's great to be able to go on Instagram. It's great to be able to wake up and look at anything you want to do. But there is a downside to that. And I think people are more and more seeing that downside to it and don't really know what to do. And they'd rather be like, I'm fucking depressed. I don't know what to fucking do. So what can you tell to these?
I don't know what I'm depressed about.
Yeah, and I don't know what, and I don't even know why I'm depressed. Not me in general. I'm just saying people now don't even know why they're depressed. Like, they're just like, yo, man, like, it's just some days you wake up, I got this weight on my shoulder.
You know why they're depressed?
Why is that?
It's like if someone gets their leg amputated, they still feel the image, the feeling of the leg is still there. That's a common medical result of an amputation. Mm-hmm. You'll still feel the limb there. People are in the chip body, but they feel nostalgic for the amputated limb, their chemical body.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes some part of their brain depressed.
Mm.
That's some area of emotion that they identify with.
Because they lost it. Because they lost it, you're saying. Because basically, what about this, Bob? Is this a breakthrough? Listen to this. Are people sometimes are getting this feeling of depression because they're losing their chemical body and they're so caught up in this chip body and they can't figure out why they can't find themselves, but they can't find themselves because you're engaged in this fucking cell phone all day, every day, and your body, this is like, dog, what's up, man? You gonna fuck with me or what? And then you start drifting off. Would you say that's like a disconnect or what?
Yes, that's why you could get depressed if you really get serious about not answering your phone. Mm. You had such a conflict as the phone calls came in. The big deal that you might be waiting for is there, but you said, "No, I'm preserving my chemical body."
Yeah,
and you will get so conflicted, you'll get depressed that you can't solve it,
mm.
and then you'll give up.
Yeah,
and you'll answer the phone,
say,
"Damn, I can't get rid of this thing," and so. You know, with my five-body model, we're at the end of the times, the beginning of the end of the beginning, these different ways of talking, but we're at a terminus. Everybody's in touch with everybody and can be. Not that they agree or disagree, but the point is we're at an interesting terminus so we could actually figure out what was motivating us because we've gone through the whole human technological evolution and changes, and we can now understand what was the sort of hiding from us all those centuries.
Yeah.
And now it's obvious. We can explain a lot of things, and I show up to explain it.
Yeah. So
and my model is the best way to explain social issues, social problems, social victories, why people are disoriented, distracted, and then forget about being distracted. And they like just enjoying the moment again. People move through so many shifts that they're way different after 8-9 hours.
Yeah, for
day.
Sure. 100%.
They've gone through many different experiences. So there's no way to frame that. Let's use the five-body model. So I present my model as the ultimate scientific statement, way more important than E equals MC squared. The bomb that came, the hydrogen bomb, atomic bomb that came out of E equals MC squared by Einstein, is a puny thing compared to the bomb of the chip landscape.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Nah, Bob, this chip body is fucking real. Because I tried to do... Hold on 1 second.
Babe. Jermaine.
Is she deaf right now or what? Oh, you can hear me on the thing. Like, I know she heard me call her name earlier. She ain't come here yet.
Who, Jermaine?
Yeah, she talking high Dick Dobbs. I need her here right now.
We'll
Jermaine, I need you here right now.
I think Dick Dobbs.
Oh, it's delayed. She said it's delayed.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, let me get one of those, please. Hey, so Bob, my next question to you is like, I did a social experience. I did my own experience. I was like, yo, like I said, I'm going to try to do without this motherfucking phone. And it is impossible. Like that's the worst thing that you can think about as a human, to feel like you have to have something to be able to survive. That's the worst. I mean,
that means it's a body. It's an
exactly.
Organ.
It's
that's
a,
why we call it a body.
I got
you
it.
You can't get rid of your body. You've added to yourself other bodies that you cannot get rid of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so. It's realer than ever right now. And then it's amplified now, especially, you know, we talked about the election and media, and I was looking at the election from more of a media standpoint and just looking at it from digital space and media and marketing. And it's like, if you think about it, if you look at Trump, he is the media, because if you look at this whole thing, if Trump wasn't there, what would people be talking about? Like, what would we be talking about if Trump wasn't in the media? Like for the last 4 years, what would you think the communication would be in people? I just, you know, Trump took over Twitter, and it's like, yo, that's it. But it's like,
okay, so what's this?
Yeah,
it's been reported this week that journalists are getting depressed.
Journalists are getting
Biden
depressed.
Won't come out and talk. He won't come out and talk. So they got no news stories there, and Trump is not talking, because he's busy correcting the election results. So they have no content, and they were missing Trump. They want Trump back to have content to distract them and pretend that they're doing something as journalists. Mm. So there's an effect of but the reason it imploded into Trump, and it went beyond the White House presidency. Obama's the last president. Now we're in the global membrane by 2015, typing and texting and involved with all our bodies. In that space that everybody's inside of, which has no dimension, someone can hijack it. And Trump hijacked it by acting like a demon. He came in and violated DC, started insulting everybody in the debate. Mm. That got attention. It also, a lot of people were frustrated. It relieved the frustration. It was funny. It was entertaining. And he became the greatest actor, because what we live in the text body has to be resolved around some news source. And the news source is the White House. And you had a clown in the White House. Nothing could top that. So all the different actors, Robert De Niro and Jermaine, whatever, not your Jermaine, but Meryl Streep and that, they all became angry at Trump because he was upstaging the older, slower forms of attention and celebrity. And so they all just were outraged. But he was an extension of us, anybody becoming a celebrity, which you can do in the chip body.
Yeah.
Anybody can be. Have followers. So Trump was a perfect expression of our present. And Biden is a perfect expression of today, because he's even less human and less involved.
Because no humans, because we don't communicate. As humans, I mean, it sucks, but I have, you know, friends, and I have, you know, you have conversation with people, and it just seems like people cannot even hold a fucking conversation. It's like, dog, do you know how to fucking speak? You know what I mean? So it's
they don't.
But the thing is, you don't need to be literate these days. Like, look at the guy that was doing the fucking I'm not saying he's literate or illiterate, but the guy that did a TikTok video that had the Fleetwood Mac song, and he got a cranberry juice deal. So it's like, that is the new environment, and it's like, that's the chip body. Without the chip body, that guy would never be able to get that deal. So there is the utopia.
He communicated in the present. Writing. You don't need mouth sentences. You don't need any of that. So, you know, the way you can get someone talking who's not inclined to talk, and your mouth cannot overcome the chip body experience they have, it's not greater.
Yeah.
If you start talking my five body language, you start describing where they live, you'll get their attention because it's the, quote, truth about our situation. I've got the right words, and it's simple. It's not complex. You get these basic notions, and then you can talk about your experience. So you can discuss. You don't get mad at someone. You don't say, man, what's wrong with you? You can't speak. You know, what happened to you? You're subhuman. No. You know why you can't speak? Is that you're way smarter than what speech can provide.
Mm-hmm.
You start building up the real effect of the chip body. They'll look, what? Might sound weird.
Yeah.
Just like this whole thing might have sounded weird. But yep, it's the facts, and you'll get attention. So I'm actually the modern healer, and I'm going to the beach now. So I'm ending with this point.
Yep.
We will talk about the next time in 2 weeks, the tech body.
The tech body.
Where we've gotten with this fixed body. The fixed body, which is new.
Would you say that
tech body?
Mm-hmm. Would you say it's a black mirror?
We're going to talk about that.
Would you classify the tech body as the black mirror?
Einstein put out a formula. He was trying to communicate within the context of literate physics, a particular science and discipline. I am coming up with the broadest statement, the broadest explanation for all factors in the mysteries of life can be fit into our body situation, multi-body situation. I have actually come up with the answer of how we can organize a global beginning point of vocabulary. We begin with the five bodies as you don't need to learn the alphabet. You don't need to learn musical notes. You learn the five structures deeply, and then you will apply that to every attempt that someone else expresses to you.
Got it.
So I leave you with that.
Hold on, Bob. You can leave us with that, but that's deep. I want you to leave people. If you could tell people one thing, today's Friday, you know, the weekend's coming, right? Tell the people one thing to A, look out for, to maybe just be having on notice for the upcoming week, and just one thing to give a tip to the people about thinking.
Look at RNAreset.com.
Okay.
Look at those products. They are the real food today, and they're not that expensive. You don't have to get them all, but look at what my bride has done, and you will start to get balance in your nutrition so that you can think about the important five-body formula.
Mm.
So, and for the social PB body, just look for more confusion and maybe more violence as it gets down to the wire or who's going to be president when they recount the particular states, the swing states. Expect a bad outcome.
Expect it. You think you're telling the people right now to expect a bad outcome. I appreciate that, Bob. Once again, I want to say thank you for taking your time and, you know, giving us this knowledge that I think is very well needed. And I respect you for coming on, and thank you for being yourself. And I can't wait to talk to you in 2 weeks, man. I really appreciate it, Bob. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for having me on, Jack.
No problem.
You're
see you tomorrow.
Person, Jack.
Thank you.
You're
too,
a wonderful
bro.
Physical body.
Oh, thank you. Come on. My chip body is pretty dope, too. I look good in the chip body. Like, my chip body image, Bob. Hey, Dickie. Dick Dobbs, before we get off, who looks better? Keep it real. This is be serious, Dickie. Dick Dobbs.
Hey, Bob says, was he? Very good show, says Joey.
Thanks. Hey, Joey, thanks for tapping in the whole time, man. I really appreciate that. Wasabi, no problem.
Do you know who Wasabi is?
Get naked. Oh, my. What is wrong with him? But after show, after hours, I'm going to take my shirt off. When Bob gets off, we're going to get...
Look, Linda.
If you stay on.
Linda from our show, Linda Renee.
Hey, Linda. Hey, Bob, you want
to
just take, you know, questions for like 10 minutes before you leave? We ain't did questions all day. No,
we'll do that. I answered questions.
You didn't answer shit, Bob. You didn't answer any questions. Hey, everybody, give Bob one question. Hurry up. Give him one question.
There's only one question. Please explain the five bodies again, Bob. I didn't get that. That's the only question worth knowing. Okay?
All right.
Wasabi might be Maddie.
It is Maddie.
Anyway,
hey, Linda.
I'm getting back into my physical body. I'm going.
How many miles you going?
Okay.
Hold on. Yo, what is
Come
wrong?
On, man.
Hold on. Yo, so Bobby got to go 5 more minutes. Hey, Dick, you got me fucked up. Hey, Dickie Dies, I'll fuck you up. You know I ain't no pussy boy.
Why? We can't go 5 more minutes. We don't need to go. You can talk. Why don't you talk?
Yeah, I'll talk. All right, you guys ask me any questions. You know, Bob's going to go to the beach right now. And
I'm getting physical.
All right.
No, I'm going chemical body.
You're going chemical.
Going into my chemical
You're
body.
Going into your physical.
You're bounce off this chip body.
This isn't physical. You're going chemical.
Bounce off this chip body.
Got it.
Yeah. How
all
do
right,
I
Bob,
turn this off?
Push X. Push X.
At the top there. Okay,
the top.
Thank you very much.
All right, no problem, guys. All right, thanks, Bob. You're still on. You might as well ask a question now. Oh, all right, Bob left. Hey, so today's show, I want to thank everybody once again for coming on. Dick Dobbs. Hey, Dick Dobbs, you got some questions? What's up, dog? Everybody, like, that was a wonderful show. Like, I appreciate everybody for coming on. I know a lot of this information is maybe a little bit different, and it may sound a little bit, you know, left field. But, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about having a beautiful mind and an open mind. You have to be open to many things and don't just be quick to judge something just because it's something you haven't heard before. It's communication. Hey, Dick, what's up, bro? You got some questions? Give me a question. Dickie Dobbs, give me a quiz. Give me a question. Let's tap in. So once again, everybody, I mean, I just want to say right now, I think we're living in a very beautiful time. You know, I don't look at things right now in the reality we're looking in as a bad time. I mean, as Bob just said, I mean, right now, did Cali make it? I don't know. Did it? It's a beautiful time to be alive. Just think. I'm going to say it like this. When has it ever been a time that you could create something and you could put it out and you could sell it within an hour? There's never been a time that you could literally come up with an idea and be like, you know what? I want to do this and do that. And you can come out with it just like that. Oh, bad day in the valley. So our update from Dickie Dobbs, who is Bob Dobbs. This is just in, ladies and gentlemen. This is just in on the Step Back with Jack podcast. It's not too good in the valley right now is what they're saying. Hey, Joey, ask Dick Dobbs what he thinks about that. Because that's Bob's brother. He'll answer that question for you. Ask him what he thinks about that. I'm going to start talking to the people again about, I just want everybody to don't forget to focus on yourselves during these times. I know it's very hard to focus on self right now just because of everything that's going on with the election and the COVID. I'm just literally saying to everyone out there, man, that has dreams and has beautiful thoughts and wants to do things in life, man, don't forget to think about yourself. Be happy. Ascend. You know what I mean? Like, don't look at what's happening right now and be an excuse maker. Wake up every day thankful with an attitude of gratitude. You know, wake up every day, you know, saying 3 things that you're thankful for. Like, I'm thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for my girlfriend. I'm thankful for Bob and I. Like, you know, I'm thankful for these things. So I want you guys to stop waking up, looking at your cell phone and automatically getting into a fucking mood about what's happening in the world, because it's very easy to sleep. Wake the fuck up from text messages and emails, check the gram, check the job emails, and it's very easy to forget about yourself. Because I always tell myself this, right? If I get too consumed in what the fuck else is going on everywhere else, and I wake up tomorrow and my fucking lights go out and the whole world is black, it's like, what was I doing the past 5 months? What was I doing? Like, wake up and be thankful. Hey, fuck. Instead of waking up, going on the gram, go on a different website. Like, do not get caught up in what's happening right now. You guys know that this election and all these things, it's media. It's huge media, right? And it's great. I mean, it's entertaining. But at the end of the day, do not forget to think about yourself right now. Let's see who's in here. Dick Dobbs. Let's see. He requests to come in. What the fuck? Let's see what he does. Hey. Don't be no pussy. Dick, you die. You came. Hey, Dick Dodge, you see, boy, you can't ask to come in and then you request it. You called me a pussy. Real Timmy 23. All right. Hey, Dick Dodge, send that request if you ain't scared. But like I said, everybody, just think. What happens if you're so caught up in everything that you see in your environment that's happening right now and you wake up and the fucking world is pitch black? Can't charge your phone. Can't call your friends. You can't do nothing. And you're faced with the fact to fuck with yourself. And if you think about it, you so engaged in social media and tech body, self ain't fucking with you. So I say this to say right now is to remember, fuck with yourself, man. Like, in business, every day, love life. Don't forget to love yourself, because that love is a force field. That's an energy that you can't get from nowhere else. And in a world where you may not get love from a lot of people, you got to love yourself. You can't forget and get caught up in all this shit that's happening in the world, because like Bob said, we talked about before, I mean, there's a lot of people depressed, a lot of people with anxiety issues. And I think a lot of that stems with we have a huge disconnection with ourselves and we're going off everything we see. Hey, Dick Dow, you a scary ass. You were scared, huh? Bye. Y'all got any questions? Anybody got any questions about anything? Let's bring in Real Timmy. We'll bring in Real Timmy Toes because Dick Dodge was nervous to come in, but it's all good. You already know what time it is. But think about self. If you guys got any questions, ask any questions. I'm down to stay on for a little bit longer. As long as we keep these numbers up like they are, we good. But yeah, man, think about self. Tap in. You asked for the request. You don't got to show your face. You can make the screen black. You don't have to show your face. I know you want to do it so bad. I know you want to. That boy nervous. Yeah. So once again, don't forget to think about self. Wake up every day. Say things that you're thankful for. One thing that actually somebody on here that told me, Dick Dobbs, is when you say things that you're thankful for, it actually switches your vibrational frequency that you live in for the good, though. For the good, not for the bad. And I'm going to break that down. Let's see. Let's see, Real Timmy. Let me bring him in real fast. So think about, okay, I'm going to say this one more time, right? So if you think about self and you think about being thankful, right? When you give thanks for something, there's no pressure for anything. There's no pressure. Because if I wake up and like I live in a fucking dump, if I wake up and say, man, you know what? I'm thankful I can brush my teeth this morning. That one word right there will switch your vibrational frequency, will add more positive energy to your environment just by being thankful. Because being in an emotion being in a frequency of thanks, it's only positive because you're thankful. You know what I mean? Like when someone does something good for you, what do you say? Thank you. You know what I'm saying? You're in this vibrational frequency of giving thanks. You know what I mean? Like I would say the most crucial thing right now is not to think. THINK. Everybody, that's Jermaine. Come say hi. Say hi to Dickie on here. See if Dickie will fucking go live. He asked me to come on here. He was trying to act like he was playing them games, but he ain't about that life. But anyway, I'm going to give you guys a little thing. Right now, these days, do not think, THINK. I want you to think, THANK. It's not a thinking man's game. Shout out to our man, Dick Dobbs. Because you think about it, when you think about stuff, a lot of times you think about something and the shit don't even end up how you thought it was going to end up. Like it's almost like you think yourself into problems. You think certain should be a certain way, or think this and think that. But then when you think it should be this, you may block something from happening the way you want it to happen. Now you thought yourself out of it. So if you think about it, if you just give thanks for a situation. So for example, there could be a, okay, I'm going to give you a prime example. I do business with a lot of athletes. Athletes wear my clothes, right? I could easily be like, man, I think so-and-so wants to wear my shit. I think CJ McCollum wants to wear it. I think Dwayne Wade. I think these people want, I don't know. But like that thinking starts to make me be like, I don't know. Do they want to wear it? Like, I know my shit dope, but I don't know. Do they want? Nah, they might not want to. But the whole time, they may love the brand. They may love it. So instead of doing it like that, I'm going to give thanks that these individuals know about my brand. Oh, I'm thankful that they know about my brand. I'm thankful that they say my shit is dope. Because that's no pressure. And next thing you know, they ask for 5 pieces. Nikki Dobbs, I got these on today. What you think about these? Travis Scott's ones. I'm gonna buy some new shoes. Send me some chicken, bro. Nikki Dobbs, send me some bread so I can get some new shoes, man. You know I love, you know what I mean? Give me some chicken, man. Send $2 million over so I can get some kicks. But yeah, man, think about life in a thing of think and think, right? Let's try to figure out not to T-H-I-N-K and figure out how to T-H-A-N-K. Because once again, when you think about something, T-H-I-N-K, there's multiple outcomes that can come up when you think about something. I mean, there's fucking five million outcomes if you think about something. 5 million outcomes if you think about something. But think about when you're thankful for something, the only outcome is thankfulness. I'm thankful. You don't have to think about what if this happens or if this doesn't happen when you're thankful. Man, I'm thankful for having a pair of shoes on my feet. I don't think I need another pair. You know what I'm saying? Like, you start thinking you need another pair, you're going to start looking at your shoes like, damn, man, my sole is coming off a little bit. Or, damn, man, my shit dirty in the front. Instead, I'm like, man, I'm fucking thankful I got these fresh-ass Travis Scott's on my feet. I don't give a fuck how messed up they are. I'm thankful that I have them. Next thing you know, I get another pair of Travis Scott. Babe, can you bring my other pair of Travis Scott's that are in there? Next thing you know, I get another pair for free. But that's the whole thing about the frequency that I'm talking about. You don't think about a pair of Air Force Ones if you already got a pair. You know what I'm saying? You don't think about getting another pair unless you look down and you see that motherfucking crease in them Air Force Ones. You're like, damn, I think these look bad. I want another pair. But next time you do this, next time you get a crease, it definitely does. I ain't fucking. We ain't wrong with the Chucks. So look, next time you get a crease in your shoe, in your Air Force One or whatever you're sneaking, you'll be like, damn, man, I think I might need a new pair of my shit creased up. Be like, you know what? I'm hella thankful that I got these shoes on. And I guarantee you, you'll probably get like a free pair of shoes. Somebody will send you some. You'll get a discount. Something will happen. Just give thanks and watch how your vibrational frequency switches up. That's what my whole little section right now is on giving by thanking, T-H-A-N-K, and the opposite of thanking, T-H-I-N-K. Just think, when you think about something, there's too many outcomes. Especially now with how information is coming so fast, you can literally think one thing, look at your phone, and think something totally different about it by just looking at something different. So when you start thinking yourself in these situations, you start thinking these other realities, you start thinking all these things, you don't know where to go, and you think yourself out of what you really wanted. But then when you get in a situation and you give thanks for the situation presenting itself, or, you know, thankful for the people you met in the situation becomes a very, you know, fruitful situation because there's no pressure of the thought that you had. You don't have to overcome it anymore. Because when you think, this is what happens. When you think something, you're thinking a thought. When you have a thought in your mind, you now have to overcome that thought when you're thinking about something. Okay, so for example, say there is a football game on Sunday that I want to go to, right? And I look at the weather, right? Okay, this is a perfect fucking story. There's a football game on Sunday, and you got this girl in town, and you want to show her off and take her to like a football game, and you geeked up, like you got tickets, blah, blah, blah. You look at the weather, and the weather says it's going to snow, the game's going to be canceled, right? And you're like, damn, I'm gonna miss the game. You start thinking about all these fucking things and like, oh man, I don't know what to do. You tell the person don't to come. And the next thing you know, the game's still there. So instead of looking at the situation like, you know what, shit, it's snowing, shit, I'm thankful that I even got tickets. You start thinking all these different things, and now you got to overcome those thoughts, and now you put yourself in a hole, and you create this environment that never was. So that's like a big thing between thinking. Like, why would you think? You got to know. At the end of the day, we all know everything anyway. Hey, Showtime, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate that. At the end of the day, you always know what you want. You don't think when you want something. You know it. Like, if you want a new whip, if you want a new girlfriend, if you want a new car, if you want a new computer, if you want a new husband, you know what you want. You don't think about it. You know what I mean? The key is to be able to know what you want and detach yourself from this process of how what you want happens. Because one thing I will tell you, that shit is happening a lot faster now. Information is coming faster. So that means manifestations probably will come faster. Information is coming at the speed of light, right? So why think yourself out of a situation? Why think yourself out of something that is already there for you once you've already said you wanted it and you know you want it? As soon as you think about it, you got to overcome so much shit, and now you create all these fucking roadblocks to really getting, you know, what you want. You know, me being in business, man, I used to think so many thoughts in my mind. And, you know, just have all these different thoughts. I should be doing this. I should have did it that way. Until really I started getting, you know, Bob and Dick Dobbs has been very crucial in letting me know that, like, don't think, just be thankful. Give thanks for the situations that you're in. Like, give away your shit for free if you have to. It's not about the money, because you put yourself in this vibrational frequency of chasing money, right? Like, everybody's like, yo, I'm about to chase this paper. I'm getting, all you're doing is chasing money. You're putting yourself in this frequency of doing this because now you're thinking you don't have money. Money is printed every fucking day. You know what I mean? Like, don't think yourself out of getting anything. You got to know what you want and detach yourself from what you want. The more thoughts you have in your mind, the more things you're going to have to overcome. The more things you got to overcome, the more roadblocks you're going to see. The more roadblocks you see, the more it's going to make you not want to do what you know you already can do. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to hold y'all. Hey, Dick Dobbs, you got any questions, man? Talk to me. What's good? Dick Dobbs, so you say it's Dick Dobbs, what's something that we can be on the lookout for that's going to be going down this week? Let's bring somebody in and see if Dick Dobbs, he might have left. You know, he's scary. That boy Dick Dobbs, boy, I know you'd be scared, boy. Oh, my boy Spencer on here. Let's bring Spencer in. Hold on. If Timmy Toes don't answer, we're going to bring Spencer in this infamy. Explain infamy. That's a word, infamy. I'm not in the music, but I'm a symphony. When they see me, it was symphony. Don't get me started. Let me see what that means right there. Infamy is the state of being well known for some bad quality or deed. Okay. What you mean by that, bruh? Spencer. Yeah, so about it's not a, let's not, infamous is better than famous. Oh. So you're saying being infamous is better than being famous. I'm going to try to answer that and see why you think that's better. Is it better because if you're famous, everybody knows you, they want to be taking pictures of you, they want to be in all your business, they want to be doing these things, they know all your moves. You know, the most wealthy men in the world, you know, you don't know about them. And they chilling. Shout out rules these days. SO rules these days. What's SO mean? Shout out? What does that mean? SO rules these days. Hey, Dickie Dobbs, get your girl. She acting up. Dick Dobbs. So infamous is better than being famous. Oh, Southern. Okay, Southern Company. Okay, 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 okay. You always speak about that. That's a whole nother conversation. But back to this, like, famous and infamous thing, right? You know, people believe they become famous Nah, she fame is almost people always in your business, basically. Right now, you don't need to be famous to be successful these days. At the end of the day, I mean, it's tough to be famous these days. It ain't no more content. Anybody can be famous these days, though. You could create anything and be famous. That's going to be a hard, tough pill to swallow to tell people. I get it, but I don't know if people are going to be able to resonate with being infamous is better than being famous. I fuck with it, though. Fame monsters never last. It's very true. And when you say a fame monster never lasts, you're referring to, like, people that are famous, you never hear from them forever because there's just so much attention on them that it never lasts? I mean, what do you mean? I guess that does make sense. And what's a fame monster? What is your definition of a fame monster? Someone that's trying to get fame, or somebody that is famous? What is a fame monster? Are you saying that people that are seeking fame, it doesn't last? Shot in the pan. What does that mean? Shot in the pan. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if you think about, like, fame right now, it's everybody's, if you think about in the work world, everybody's taking ideas. Everybody's doing everything anyway. You don't even want people to know what the fuck you're doing these days. You want to, like, keep that shit on a low until you put it out and then become famous. Then it's like, you don't even want to be famous because you don't want people asking you how to do shit. So it does make sense. But, you know, but Dickie, I think you need to have fame. You want to get fame so people can know you, and then you can kind of do what you want to do. If people don't know you, how could you tell someone to, you know, actually create a product, do something? Like, if don't nobody know you, how can you survive or have something done in this free world, if you think about it? I'm not saying you got to be famous to be successful, but saying famous is better than in your Kool-Aid. That's 100%. They definitely in the Kool-Aid. So what would you say to people that want to, I don't want to say want to be famous, what would you say to people that want to be successful that don't want to work a 9-to-5? Dickie, what would you say to the people that want to be successful, but they don't want to work a 9-to-5? You know, what do you tell them to do? Slinky Pong Facebook? What do you mean? But I know Facebook's creating something where you can get paid for, you know, broadcasting. Is that what you're saying? Everybody wants bliss every day, Dickie Dobbs. Okay. So you're telling people to come into their power and to sin, right? Yeah, I mean, of course. But how can you tell somebody to come into their power in a world where it's like, you know, every day you look at the media that shows you that you're not powerful? You know what I'm saying? What would be the first step to allow people to, or let people know, or to tell someone, yo, this is the step to, you know what I mean? That's real shit. Love, 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 love. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, Dickie, how do people get empowered? I mean, for me, I guess I'll tell you, guys, how I kind of try to empower myself. I'm just always thankful. I try to be thankful. Open the door. I just try to be thankful at the end of the day. And, you know, by giving thanks and being in an attitude of gratitude, it really allows you to, you know, there's no pressure when you're thankful. There's no pressure. Hold on 1 second. Giving thanks, there's no pressure. Like, what pressure? I just did it because I'm fucking with you. You stupid as fuck, man. You stupid. Yo, so, like, whenever you give thanks, there's no pressure for anything. Whenever you think about something, there's always pressure. If you think about anything, T-H-I-N-K,
what good comes out of thinking something? Like, if you really think about it, whenever you thought something in your mind, right? I mean, I'm talking about the first thought, like literally, like what comes out of thinking? You know what I'm saying? But when you're thankful, when you give thanks, you always feel good. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you give thanks to someone, right? Whenever it's like, man, thank you. Or like, man, I feel that. Like, it's just, it makes you happy. And I think the hardest part today is finding that happiness. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to find that happiness in today's world. But in this attitude of gratitude, as Dick Dobbs said, in this attitude of gratitude, you know, it switches your vibrational frequency. Yeah, Jadler, Dick is, Bob is out. This is after hours. You with me, right? This is after hours. You got to stay on here if you want to. You got any questions, bro? This is after hours. We got Dick Dobbs in here. You can ask him questions, too. Attitude of gratitude. Listen, changes everything. Be thankful, thankful, thankful. Thankfulness is a very, 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 it's almost like the completement formula. When you're feeling down, and you're feeling depressed, or you're feeling like you're mad, or somebody's got you mad, or you can't get this or can't get that, I guarantee you, if you go in a corner in your house and you sit down and you say five things you're thankful for, I guarantee it'll change for the good. At that moment, it happens fast too. That's one thing I can say that I've practiced. Like, that's, you know, I don't usually give away my shit, but like, yo, being thankful and living in that attitude of gratitude, it literally changes your situation. Like, within an instant, you know, a lot of times you got to wait for shit. It's like, yo, you're feeling down, you're feeling low, you're depressed, you got anxiety, shit's on your mind, shit's happening. Yo, just literally, attitude of gratitude. Stay things you're thankful for. And I guarantee you that burden will kind of lay off your shoulders. You got to think about it. When you're thankful, everything is light. You're happy. When you're happy, you light. When you're thinking shit, you heavy, man. You emotional. You thinking about stuff. You thinking about things that would never be. That's what that thinking does. It creates these facades that we now have to overcome. And sometimes we can't overcome them because now you're in this frequency of you getting, if you're feeling emotional and you're feeling a certain way, as soon as you get on that fucking cell phone, that's the shit you're going to be seeing on your cell phone too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are what you see. You know what I mean? You have to tap in and be thankful for situations. Because this tech by the cell phone, like, it's driving a lot of people. You know what I mean? So, attitude of gratitude changes everything. Do not T-H-I-N-K. Work on T-H-A-N-K. And I'm closing on that. I want to say thank you for everybody. Hey, Dick Dobbs, you still here? Are you dip, bro? See you here. See you here. See who's here. Oh, we got a couple people in here. Let's keep it going. Lay back, yo. All right, let's get back to this thankfulness. And I want to start talking about energy now, right? And frequency, and like the shit that we don't see. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the stuff that we don't see, right? You know, you don't just wake up mad. Like, there's stuff around you. You feeling a certain way. This is vibrational frequencies. This ain't somebody smacking you and making you mad. This ain't you going outside, seeing somebody get beat up, making you mad. This ain't somebody calling you, making you mad. Some days you wake up and you just feel heavy. Because that's the frequency of your environment that you're not thinking about. And this is what that does. You wake up and you feel heavy in the first thing you do is start thinking like, damn, why am I feeling like this? And then what's the next thing you do? You start thinking about all these fucking bad things that happened in the last week where you like, okay, I did this, this happened. You just created 5-6 things that you now got to overcome. Just like that. Like, just let's rewind. Just think about how fast that happens, right?
It's Friday. You had a great weekend. You party Saturday. You party Sunday. We did all this shit, right? You wake up Monday like, damn, man, I'm tired. I don't feel good, man. Like, what did I do this weekend? Like, man, is that what that was? Feeling like that? Oh, I did do that. And you start thinking about all these things that have nothing to do. It's just that you're dehydrated. But you just thought about 20 things you did over the weekend that's making you think something different, that's throwing you off from the beautiful Monday that you have received. But that's how much thinking does, bro. Like, thinking will fucking... No, you definitely have the power. I'm not sitting here saying that we don't have the power. We have the power. But you also have the power of thought that can drive you in a direction that you may not want to go. You will think yourself out of an idea. Nothing great has ever happened from thinking. If you walk into somebody that got a gun, you ain't got time to think. You ain't thinking. You know you got to get the fuck out the way. You ain't thinking. You know what I'm saying? So I would just definitely say right now, that's my biggest thing, is like, don't overcomplicate and think too much about things right now, because if you think about it, and I don't like to use that word right now, is that there's so much information happening so fast. One thing could be happening right now. Okay, prime example is this. Why it's not about thinking or whatever. Election goes, everybody's geeked up, you know, everybody thought, you know, Biden won and thought this, and then they start recounting, and you find, like, you start thinking these things. Like, you know what? Just sit back. Think about self. Be thankful that you're still alive in these times. You know what I mean? I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful that I could call my mom and ask how she's doing. And, you know, hey, mom, what you watch this? It's entertainment, right? But as soon as you start thinking shit, it's like, now you're even more mad because I got a recount or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So I just want to sit here and say to you, to anyone that's on here right now, if you're still here, the numbers are good right now, too. So if anyone is on here right now, do not think yourself out of a situation. Like, that's so easy to do. I've thought myself out of, I thought myself out of basketball almost, right? When I played ball, I'll give you a prime story. When I played basketball at University of Miami, I was the man. Like, every play was ran for me. You know, I got the ball, you know, the plays ran for, at green light, right? I got drafted by the San Antonio Spurs. And my role was a little bit different. You know, they didn't really want me coming off screens and, like, shooting the first shot. They wanted me playing point guard, which I had to learn. You know what I mean? I learned playing point guard. But I always wanted to, you know, shoot the rock, right? I would run plays. I was having trouble, like, getting to the sets because I'm thinking about scoring. Like, they brought me in to score. And then you start thinking, like, damn, am I good enough to even, like, play at this level? So I was playing terrible when I got drafted by the Spurs. I was playing great when we first got there for the workouts. Went to summer league. I didn't play good in summer league. I played bad in my first year at summer league. I didn't get that much time. I started, but they were taking me in, taking me out, and I couldn't really, you know what I mean, get in my groove. But then from that thing, I started thinking, like, damn, I got drafted, but, like, am I really ready for this shit? Like, am I fast enough? Like, can I shoot as good as these guys? I mean, these guys are 6'6". Ain't no way I can compete. I can't guard these guys. I can't, like, damn, the game is way faster. Like, the ball feels different. I can't shoot this NBA ball. And then it's just like a fucking, like, whirlwind, right? Instead of, you know, I wish back then I would have been like, you know what, man, I'm thankful. I'm on a fucking Spurs right now. Summer League starting. I'm starting Summer League. You know what I mean? When I got drafted to Spurs and I went to summer league, I was thinking, like, I gotta kill to make sure these Spurs see me and they keep me on this team. Like, you know, that was my thought process of, okay, summer league's here. I got George Hill as my point guard. I got Malik Harrison at the two. I had Marcus Williams. I think Steph Lazmi was on the team. We had Ian Mahimi, I think. We had DeJuan Blair. And I'm thinking, okay, I got to shoot threes. I think I have to do this, right? Instead of being like, I'm just thankful to be here. Because when you start thinking, like, I got to store this, I got to do that. You start thinking that shit and you don't do it. You just added all this fucking pressure on you. Like, literally, I walk in summer league. First game, I forgot who we play. I started the two. I started alongside George Hill. I think I missed my first shot, my first three shots. And I was like, ooh. Then they started posting me up on defense. I'm like, oh shit, this NBA shit is different. And then immediately, now it's funny talking about this. I mean, like, damn, I might not can't guard these dudes, or like my shot off today. Next thing you know, I missed my next two shots because now I got to overcome my thought of thinking that I couldn't do something when it's just one fucking play. But thinking starts to create all of these false constructs in your mind that you now have to overcome. Right? So if I go back to that situation back then and I say, you know what? I'm thankful to be on the Spurs in Summer League. I'm thankful to be next to George Hill playing. Ain't no pressure to what happens. So if I have 0 or 8 or 10 or 20, I'm just thankful for the situation. And that's the vibrational shit that I'm talking about. Because now thankfulness switches your vibrational frequency. So it ain't no pressures of anything. So even if something would have been a pressure, it isn't because you're thankful. But if you think, T-H-I-N-K, about shit, you know what I mean? You thinking yourself in too many different things. And it's so easy to think about shit because you're getting information at a high speed. Like every second someone is posting something, you have a thought about something someone's doing. And if that thought resonates with you, you'll make it resonate in your life. And then when it resonates in your life, you start thinking about different stories that can come from that. And when you start thinking about the story from that, you start thinking about some other shit. And then you just go in this rabbit hole of all these thoughts and you forget what the fuck you was thinking about. That's the biggest part. You start thinking so much, you forget. Like, you be like, what the fuck was I thinking about? It's like, nah, man. I mean, it's beautiful time right now, man. It's like, I think as individuals, I think another great thing in these times is really getting with like-minded people, like getting with people that are like yourself. And this has nothing to do with race, you know, gender. This is more like get around people that think like you. You know what I mean? Get around people that, you know, damn, it's crazy to say that word. And T-H-A-N-K, get around people that are thankful. You know what I mean? To be in these situations. Get around people that look at life the same way that you do. Because remember, we're talking about vibrational frequencies, right? So if it's you and a group of three people and y'all on this positive energy, y'all being thankful, you know, y'all in attitudes of gratitude, that vibrational frequency in that environment, that positivity is going to be three times stronger. You know what I'm saying? So it's very crucial right now. You could think, you could be with somebody, right? You could be with one person, right? And you could be with two negative motherfuckers. As soon as you get with them and they negative, you be like, dog, like, fuckers, like, what's up with y'all, dog? Like, y'all niggas is negative. And you feel it. It's a feeling. It's a vibrational frequency. And just like when you with one person and you with two of your friends that you fuck with, y'all laughing, y'all going crazy, and you know, all these things, because it's the vibrational frequency that I think a lot of people are not really thinking about. You know what I mean? Josh, what up, fam? What up, baby? Josh Sanchez, big dog. Shout out with you, fam. So, you know, people are thinking these things, and it's like, you're thinking yourself out the next big deal just because you thought your deal should have went the way that the other dude deal went. You know what I'm saying? Whole time, you know you bet you're a colder nigga than the other dude. But just because his deal went that way, you think your deal should go the same way. You got to know you that dog. You got to know you that nigga or that female. You got to have that supreme confidence walking in to any situation. Walk into any situation confident with thanks. T-H-A-N-K-S. I'm telling you now, if you're confident and you have thanks and you're thankful, it ain't no, hey, yo, being confident and being thankful is like having, you know, unstoppable dribbling skills and you don't miss shooting. That's what, you know, being confident and being thankful, because when you're thankful, it switches your environment. Everything's positive around you. There's no pressure. There's no negativity because you're thankful for the situation you're in. As soon as you're thinking, you're creating these false surroundings around you. Now you got to overcome them. And that's the last thing that we want to do right now, because information comes fast every day. You don't even have time to think about shit no more. That's another reason why you shouldn't think. You don't even have time to think a thought anymore because that same thought you thought 2 minutes ago could immediately be switched by someone else's point of view. They'd be like, nah, you know what? I thought it was like that, but they said it like this. Yeah, that's better because he said that. You know what I'm saying? So we can't be thinking ourselves out of situations. We got to know. You got to know that you are a supreme being. You got to know that you are powerful. You got to know that you can have, be, do whatever you want to do. Don't allow society to dictate your future, the things you want, the things you dreamed of, the things you believed in, the things you've had and may have lost. Don't make society think you can't have that shit back. Because if you've had it once, you can have it several times. And if you've seen it, you can have it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to get off right now. And look, man, y'all keep tuning in. I'm going to continue to kind of, we're going to do this every other Friday with Bob. First Fridays, I usually have Carolyn Dean, his wife, on. Shout out to Carolyn Dean. Wonderful soul. She has the complete bin formulas that change lives, www.rnareset.com. And at the end of the day, man, like everyone that's still on here right now, I appreciate you. And I'm super thankful for you guys joining. And make sure you tune in next week. You know, Step Back with Jack podcast. This is where we step back and look at things, you know, from a different angle. I know in all traditional media, everything sounds the same. Dickie Dodds, my nigga, you already know what time it is. So, you know, in mainstream media, you know, it's hard. You see the same shit from a different perspective, mixed a different way. And I know some of the stuff that sometimes we talk about, that Bob talks about, it kind of is left field. And there's no judgment. You know what I mean? We want people on here to really be in a situation of feeling empowered in themselves. You can't be emotional and start feeling like, you know, feeling a certain way. Like, this podcast is for the people that want to ascend and to be in their personal power and really know that it's fruitful out here in life, man. We don't have to be negative and think that, you know, life's a blur. Let's live in that attitude of gratitude. Be thankful for being here. You know, tell somebody right now, call everybody that's on here right now, call a friend and be like, yo, I'm thankful for you. Everybody on here right now. Okay. I want everybody on here right now to type one thing they're thankful for. Everybody on here, if y'all fucking with the podcast and y'all fucking with this, please write one thing that you're thankful for. And that's how we're going to close the show. We're going to close the show every week with the people that are here to write one thing that they're thankful for. And that's how we're going to leave the show high frequency, high vibration. So next week we jump right in into the positivity. But I'm asking everybody on here right now, if you fucking with me, you fucking with the show, type in one thing that you're thankful for. Okay, so Dick Dobbs says fucking. Okay, I fuck with that. My health, ace, I fuck with that. I'm meow, life. Carolyn, thank you so much. I'm so thankful for you as well. So thankful for you as well. So we got four things. We got fucking from Dick Dobbs. We got my health from Ace. We got life from Meow. We got RNA Reset. Thankful for me. Thankful for her and them. And come on, guys. There's more people on here. Like, y'all scared to talk or what? Dickie Dobbs, give me three more. So I need 10 I'm thankfuls. We got six right now. My family created. Facts. Shout out Elijah, man. Shout out my man Elijah, man. You got to be thankful for that, bro. No, that's a fact. The fact that you said you're thankful for the family that you created. You ain't giving no credit to the wife or none. Dobbs crazy, but Dob, listen, I guarantee if you listen back to this, a lot of the things that he talked about will probably be happening next week. And that's why it's always good to have him on here as a new news source, the new media. You know what I'm saying? Okay, somebody said they're thankful for RNA Reset. Ascension. You spelled that wrong, Ascension. Come on, Dickie. Hey, Dickie Dobbs, what's your definition of Ascension? Dickie Dobbs? What's your definition of that? My boy laid back, yo, my dog shit. That's how, so one thing I will tell you about Bob is that one thing that I've learned from Bob and that's really helped me is that he doesn't think about nothing. He doesn't think about a thought long enough for it to become, you know, something in his world. He doesn't allow thoughts to dictate his reality. I mean, I know it's hard to do to be able to like have a thought and stop it and like being able to block and merge thoughts. That's what you have to learn how to do is to be able to have a thought, block it, merge. Thought comes, block, merge, block, merge, 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 block. Of course, you're going to have thoughts come in that may be something that you want, but you got to be able to block them and merge. Come into your motherfucking power. That's the biggest thing. That's a very bold statement, right? Coming into your power as human creator that is on here right now is really first, you got to believe that you got the power, that you can do whatever you want to do, that you can manifest, and that you can have these things. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times people don't believe or think that they could have what they want. Like, what makes someone different than someone else? Cristiano, what's up? What's up? Shout out to RNA Reset. She breaks it down. They break it down. A belief is a thought you've been thinking for a long time. This is from Dr. Carolyn Dean. I'll say it again. A belief is a thought that you've been thinking for a long time. So think about this. Think about all these things. I'll give you a breakdown like this. When you're a kid, right? It's logical to see if two cars are coming to cross the street. But as soon as someone says, hey, make sure you look both ways before you cross the street, you start like thinking like, oh shit, I might get hit. Not saying that that's not a good thing to do, but just think about how powerful when you're crossing the street and you know there's no cars there. But as soon as someone says, make sure you look both ways before you cross the street, that makes you think. And then you'll start thinking like, damn, I didn't look close ways. I might have got hit by that car. There ain't no fucking car there. You're creating these beliefs and these thoughts in your mind that aren't even real. And I'm not sitting here saying don't look both ways before you cross the street. I'm just giving you an example of, you know, that current situation, man. You'll think yourselves out of shit, man. Excellent health, coming to my power. I love that. P-A-I-S. How do you say your name? Paisel? Paze? I would my first step that I would say to coming into your personal power is being in the attitude of gratitude. Because, you know, being... And I want you guys to understand power and authority is two different things. You're not saying power. Are you run things? Just power. You're empowered. You feel empowered. You feel like you're ready to take on the day, right? Because a lot of times, like you said, there's a lot of heavy shit going on. You got to be in this attitude of gratitude. I would say that is step one. That's my step one. I'm not going to say that's everybody's step one. My step one to get into that happiness and feeling empowered is to first be in the attitude of gratitude. That's why I'm training. That's why I'm in pro wrestling. They train us not to think and just go because you. Exactly. Okay. My man just said he's a pro wrestler. He said in the training for pro wrestling, they tell you don't think. Because as soon as you think you're going to get hurt. And what happens when you think? You create this belief in your mind that if this nigga body slam, I'm going to break some shit. As soon as this nigga body slam, you break some shit because you're thinking about shit. You're disempowering yourself because you think you don't have the power to not get injured. So if you're thankful for the situation that you're in, it don't even matter if you get hurt because you're thankful for being there. But what does that do? Change your vibrational frequency. And that's what you don't think about. You don't think about frequency. You don't think about like when you're waking up, your environment, what's around you. You don't think about that because that's what you know. You know that's there. You know it. You know what I'm saying? So nothing good comes from thinking. Literally. Like I want someone on here to tell me what good do you get out of thinking something? I mean, you could think thoughts and have thoughts, but like what goods comes out of like really thinking about something, thinking about some shit? It only drives you, you know, a different way. Who is this? I'm going to get Massey on here. Let's see if he answer. My dog. Let's see if he hop on here for 2 seconds. Yeah, what is... There you go. What's up, Famo?
What's up, buddy?
The legend. What's up, baby? You good?
shit, man. I just pulled up to your live phone to say what's good.
Hey, you man. Hey, I appreciate you tapping in, man. You know, we on here talking about empowering each other as individuals. You know, I feel like a lot of times these days, motherfuckers is lost about really empowering themselves, man. It's hard to feel empowered when we live in a world where every day you see negativity. You know, what I'm trying to talk about is really, then we got the power. We can do whatever the fuck we want to do. Look at you.
We got all the power, man.
Look at you. Look what you did, bro. Superstar. Still hey, are. Man, still saying, are.
What's up, guys in the chat? Hello, everyone.
You know what I'm saying?
Corey Baxter is in your chat talking.
Corey Baxter, man. Yeah, right. This the real deal, man.
Hey, man, I just want to come up and tell you, man, I love your message, bro. I love what you're doing, man, and I appreciate you for staying in shit, bro.
Nah, man, I really appreciate that.
Let's link too, man.
100%.
I'm about to watch this Mandalorian.
All right, right. Hey, man, I appreciate you tapping in, bro. Love, bro. Always love.
All right,
family.
Yeah, keep going. Right.
Appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? I'll give you, okay, this is a prime example. Like, I didn't think that he was going to come in here. You know, I was in an attitude of gratitude this whole live. I would just say, man, you know, I'm not thinking. I'm thankful, right? That's a legend that just came in this live just now. I'm not doing this shit to get fucking people in here. I'm just doing it to give you guys information. But that's a example. That's a perfect example of living in an attitude of gratitude. And look what the fuck happens. Soon as I'm on here talking this whole time, I'm like, yo, live in an attitude of gratitude. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. This kid's a stud. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that happened so you guys could understand. Hey, Flex, the podcast is in the cooker right now. I just want to get more before I put them out. You know what I mean? I want to get a couple more. I have several. I just don't want to put them out until I got a couple more. But 100%, man, I'm so glad that Kyle Massey came in here for the simple fact that, you know, you think about guys like Kyle Massey, you know, he's huge kid superstar, huge star now, what he's doing in business and influence and everything he's doing, right? And like, look, I wasn't a movie star or anything like that, but you saw what he said. He came in and respected what we were talking about because, like I said, when you start getting with people with like-minded mindsets, they gravitate to that shit. You know what I'm saying? You can't deny that frequency. You can't deny, you know, because I'm being authentic. This ain't no facade, no fake shit. I ain't talking to y'all about shit about this. I'm talking to you about shit I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking to you guys about shit that I do on a daily. You know what I'm saying? So that was a prime example of it don't matter. You got to be yourself. People fuck with people that are themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't trying to be around nobody that don't know themselves. You know what I'm saying? So that's a prime example. And I think a lot of times people don't know themselves just because they want to be everything that they see. You think you got to be everything that you see. You start thinking that shit. And now what happens? Oh, damn. I know you got the new Benz. I know you got this, got that. Whole time he at his brother's house. You know what I'm saying? You could be on social media, right? You could follow people, and then, you know, you following in, got the new Louis kicks. He got the Maybach. You know, he got the range. You know, he got all the watches. He got the rings. Next thing you know, so-and-so down for scamming. Nigga in jail for life. And that's the nigga or the person that you was looking at is like, damn, if I could just work to be like that. It's a false prophet. You give him your power to something that you think is. But you thinking, what does that do for you? You spending your whole time trying to be something that's not. This motherfucker been scamming the whole time. That's the disconnect from a lot of people in their own individual power, because we continue as humans to want to be like something else that we see because we're seeing so much information every day. I mean, I see it too. Man, I see so much. Yo, what up, King? What do you have? Oh, see, RNA Reset, you getting deep. You getting deep. See, RNA Reset is getting deep. She talking about the winds and waves obeying her command. That's power when you got the winds and the waves moving. You know what I mean? That's a whole deeper joint, and we can get into that. But we got to start with, you know, with step one is that it's hard for people to get in their power because they don't even know they have the power, or they don't even have the power in themselves because they think that they're not up to par with what they see, with what you see. But actually, what you see ain't what is. That's the craziest part about this whole shit, right? People get so caught up in everything that they see, right? You get so caught up in all these things that you see. And then come to find out, whole time nigga was scamming. Whole time he was doing it. Like, you know what I mean? Whole time. You can't get caught up. That's my prime example. You can't get caught up in what you see. You got to get caught up in what you know. Do what you love. Live in an attitude of gratitude. I would say wake up every morning. Every morning before you pick up your phone. I mean, before you pick up your phone, you fucking say 5 things that you're thankful for. You have to do it before you pick up your phone. Right? Do not do the shit after you pick up your phone. You have to pick up your phone when you wake up. When you wake up, you pick up your phone. And you say, no, my bad. Don't pick up your phone when you wake up. Before you pick up the phone, Dylan, what's good? You say 5 things that you're thankful for. And I'm going to repeat this again to the people. Let me see. And I'm going to repeat this again to the people that don't understand about why it's very, very important to say 5 things you're thankful for, because it changes that vibrational frequency around you. It changes that energy around you. You know what I'm saying? Because that shit that has you feeling down, it ain't got nothing to do with no human. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody. That's the energy in your environment. And the only way to switch the energy in your environment is to switch the energy by telling the environment you're thankful for being in it. Then the environment, like, oh shit, I fuck with you. That's all it is. Okay, there it is. We just cracked the motherfucking code. When you're having a bad day, or if someone's making you mad, just say, I'm thankful for you. That shit will make a motherfucker mad. It's going to loosen stuff up. So do that with your energy and your environment. If you're having a bad day and you're just feeling, you know what? I'm just thankful for being here today. I'm thankful that I got something to eat this morning. I'm thankful that I can scramble these eggs and put some cheese, salt, pepper, and maybe some hot sauce on these motherfuckers. And watch what that does, because it's not you that's stopping what's happening. You're allowing your environment to throw you off, and the attitude of gratitude is going to switch. It's almost like turn the switch off. Right? It's almost like having a Ferrari and you can't find the keys. You got this beautiful thing that you know, which is you, yourself. You got this beautiful thing. Yourself is so beautiful and you're full of life. But you just can't seem to turn this motherfucker on. You can't seem to, like, figure out how to start the engine. You know what I'm saying? Like, you be like, damn, how do I start the engine to myself? And like, if you think about it, that's like having a car and not knowing where the keys are. How the fuck do you have a new car and you don't know where the keys are? That makes no sense. But I think as human creators, a lot of us are in this position where we are who we are on this chip body, on this cellular device, on this social media. And then we're somebody totally different in real life. And that's not a problem. Because you are 2 different people in real life and you are on the social media. But you got to know that. You can't be trying to say, oh, I'm the same motherfucker on the social media as I'm in real life. No, you're not. You know what I'm saying? I think that's one of the big... Let me see. No such thing as good or bad. Everything is average. Exactly. You know, my man... Shout out my man. Mr. Carr, born leader family, man. Tashi Carr, man. Like, there is no such thing as negativity, right? Negativity is perception. Because I'm going to break this down to you. One person could say it's negative to go play in the developmental league in the NBA. One person can say, yo, that's a negative thing. And there's another person that could be like, nigga, I wasn't even supposed to be in the, I wasn't even supposed to be here. I'm thankful to be in the D League. Therefore, that means there's no such thing as a negative thing. A negative thing is only perception. Negativity is only what you say is negative. Because if one person can say one thing is negative and a motherfucker can say that that same thing is positive, what defines negativity? Nothing. It's perception. So while you're out here thinking about what somebody else said or somebody else did, you setting up another fucking belief system that was, it started as a thought. This wasn't even a belief for you. It started as a thought. You thought about this thing, about this D-League thing, and you said, you know what? It's probably not good to go to D-League. Nah, I ain't gonna make no bread. This shit gonna be the worst shit ever. I'll go to D-League. I fucking ain't gonna have no fun, right? You know what? You say, you know what? I'm gonna go to D-League. What happens? You go to D-League, you have no fun, you get injured, you do all these things. And I'm saying that because that's the same exact fucking thing that happened to me. Swear to God. I was working out. I'll give you a prime example. I was in the D-League. I got drafted 12th pick to the D-League in 2013, I think. 12th pick. I was lottery. You know what I mean? Top 13 pick in the D-League. I got drafted by the Erie BayHawks, right? And this is 3 years after I had played overseas. I was about to go to training camp with the Heat. That's a whole other story we'll talk about. But I end up having to choose the D-League, right? Or overseas. I had made a lot of money for three years previously, so I had enough money to save up where I can go in the D-League and like make, you know, you don't make nothing in the D-League. But I will say that when the Heat released me, they released me one day before we were supposed to go to camp, because I was going to camp when they had me get my visa. I got my visa for China. And that same day, they cut me and they say, you know, we're not gonna take you. But if you go to the D-League, we'll check you out. So I'm like, all right, whatever. My whole experience, I turned down so much money to go to camp with this team, and they cut me before. So I was almost forced to go D-League. The whole time, I didn't want to go D-League. You know, I wanted to make the team, right? So I started thinking all these thoughts. You know, I went to D-League. I worked hard. And I started. It was me, Garrett Temple. We're starting guards on my D-League team. Preseason games, I think I averaged like 13 or 14. First regular season game starts, I think I shoot 1 for 7. My first regular season game in the D-League, right? I shot 1 for 7. You got to think, and I don't want to think, but this is what I did back then. I know the D-League is a farm system. If you don't play good 1 to 2, 3 games, they're going to bring another motherfucker in. It's a side note. So first game, I go 1 for 8, right? Game two comes. I think I shoot 2 for 11. So we had two games. I'm starting shooting guard. Garrett on the one, he's 6'5", so he can play one. I can guard the point guard, he can guard the two. So that was a good dynamic for me, right? So the first two games, I think I shot three for 19, 3 for 20. So I'm going in my third game, I'm like, oh shit. I done shot 3 for 20. They just brung in another guard. I'm like, God, the D-League, they don't play no game. They're going to bring in a motherfucker straight like that, off the flight, straight from overseas. It don't matter. So third game, I'm going in third game like, oh, shit. I done shot, you know, like 3 for 16 or whatever. Like, if I don't hit today, this shit might get ugly. Like, that was my mindset going into the game. Once again, I wasn't going into the game like, damn, man, like, shit, I'm thankful to be here. I'm playing with the NBA players. I'm in Reno. You know, I'm around NBA coaches. I'm in a big gym. I'm doing community service. You know what I mean? I looked at it. I put so much pressure on myself on this third game. Like, shit, if I don't hoop this game, I don't know what's up. So third game comes. And I think we played Kent Bazemore. And mind you, this is in 2011. Kent Bazemore wasn't even in the league yet. So we're playing Kent Bazemore in the Santa Cruz Warriors. This nigga Kent Bazemore is going to work. When I say, because I ain't like the way his game looked. He was like a lefty looking sloppy, but he got it done. And you can see now it's more polished. But back then his game wasn't as polished, but he was a bucket. So I'm like, yo, who is this nigga named Kent Bazemore that went to like, I think he went to like a smaller school. What school did Kent Bazemore go to that's on here? I think it was like Liberty or like a smaller school. I'm like, you start thinking like, damn, nigga, I went to University of Miami. I got my jersey retired. I'm in the D League. I'm missing my shot. And this is nigga named Kent Bazemore who went to Liberty or some school and he's killing. So then I start thinking more thoughts like, damn. Third game, I'm 2 for 9 this game. I'm getting cooked by Kent Bazemore. Old Dominion. So I'm like, I'm on right now. I'm in the D League. I'm like, shit, I done shot 3 for 19. Third game in, I got to play against Kent Bazemore. You know, back then, you see a nigga, I didn't know who he was. You see a nigga went to Liberty or Old Dominion. I'm about to go at this thing. I played against the toughest niggas in the world. And that was the day that I knew his niggas was nice. It don't matter where you at. And I could not stop Kent Bazemore. So my third game, I shot, like I said, 2 for 11. So my first three games, I'm shooting like 4 for 25. And I swear to God, from that third game, I didn't touch the floor ever again in my D-League for the next 12 games. So I started, the Heat cut me day before camp. They told me they were taking me to camp. They had me get my visa, everything. They cut me, said they was going to draft me in D-League. I go top pick. I go to Reno. I start my first three games. I don't shoot the ball well, and I don't play for the next 12 games. 12 games straight. And when I'm saying, like, I wasn't even playing bullshit minutes. We'd be about 40, and I still wasn't getting in the game. So I'm like, these niggas is tripping. I'm nice. But then when that happens, you start thinking, like, damn, am I nice? Like, and then my workout, you know, I'm a gym rat. Like, every practice, I'm in the gym before, after. 12 games in, I ain't touched the motherfucking court. All I'm doing is thinking. I'm thinking every possibility. I'm thinking, damn, I had a deal in China for $90,000 a month. I had a deal in Italy for $45,000 a month. I had a deal, and this is no cap. This is real shit. This is back then. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking about all these situations that I could have had, but then I decided to go to the D-League, and then I'm started thinking like, damn, I'm in the D-League. I'm not even fucking playing. They pay me $1,100 a month in the D-League. So then I started thinking, you know what? Fuck this shit. They ain't going to play me. I'm not going to work hard no more. I'm just going to be chilling. And I remember it like yesterday. We had a practice. I hadn't played for 12 games straight. You know, 14th game come. I'm like, dog, I'm not about to keep working out and staying that shit in the gym. So I started like being more nonchalant, calling my agent, telling him I want to get out of here and shit like that. So I think it was like the 15th. After the 15th game, I'm not playing and touch the floor at all. I get into practice. We had went out the night before. And my stomach was bubbling, so I had to go to the bathroom before practice. I jumped right into the 3-on-2, 2-on-1 fast break drill. So I'm in the drill, and I backpedal, boom, microfracture, tore my knee. Like, just like that. Like, I mean, literally. Not even, like, I wasn't even, but that came for me from thinking all of these thoughts. Like, damn, why I do this? Why did I do this? Like, I'm not playing. Fuck this shit. I'm not going to work no more. I'm not going to do it. For what? Instead of me being like, man, I'm thankful that I'm still around. I'm making $1,500 a month. Fuck it. I mean, I could be making $50,000, but I'm making $15,000. I still get to play the game I love. I still get to travel. I still get to meet new coaches. But my process was T-H-I-N-K. I was just thinking of all these different things. And then at the end of the day, I didn't want to be in that situation. And then what happens? I get hurt. I'm out the situation, right? I got out the situation. I got what I wanted. But that's how it came to me. And I'm not saying that karma and all that's just why it happened. But I can't get mad at getting hurt in that situation because my energy and my mindset wasn't really into that bullshit at that moment. It was more like, man, I want to get out of here. I don't want to play. You know what I mean? These niggas ain't playing me. I blow my knee out. And that was the end of, you know, that's when I decided, you know, to stop playing basketball. You know what I mean? It was my fourth year. I was overseas for 3 years. My fourth year, the Heat had called me in and wanted me to come in and work out the summer. They flew. I was in there for 3 days working out. The 3 days turned into 3 months. 3 months turned into when they bring you to camp. Like, you're going to make this team. And then they cut me before the camp, went to the D-League. And then that was the process from when it showed me, like, this shit don't really got nothing to do with how much game you got, right? It don't got, you know, all these years, you know, from getting drafted in 2009, you start to think about, nigga, I got to work hard and be better than these guys and be nicer than these guys to play. Yes, skill, yes, 100%. That plays a huge factor. And people could easily say, yeah, if you played better, you would have made the team. Yes. And I'm not saying I could have played better. I'm not making an excuse. But what I am saying is young athletes, even niggas now, don't get caught up in when you're a pro and playing right now and being mad at the situation you in, right? Like, because what you don't get nothing out of it. It's nothing. You don't get nothing out of being mad out of a situation. You're just going to keep getting mad, right? But then when you start looking like, damn, I play in LA or I play for the Grizzlies, you know, I got a clothing line and my sponsor is FedEx. So shit, let me holler at FedEx, see if they give me a fucking deal so I can ship for free and my family can ship for free. Start using your situation to allow you to look at situations different. And that's what that attitude of gratitude does. That'll change that frequency in your environment to allow thoughts to come to you, to allow you start thinking freely. Because if you all your thoughts are overcame by these fucking false realities, you don't got time to think for yourself, or you don't have time to allow thoughts to even come to your mind. You got to allow the thoughts to come to you. You can't really think the thoughts. Because whenever you think about something you already know, it's already something that you already know about, right? So if you're like, oh, I want to design a sneaker that looks like an Air Force One. You already know the Air Force One and you want to design that shit. So you already, you know what I mean? You're already thinking about that. But where did the thought come from I want to design this sneaker? You never thought that you would design a sneaker. That's the thought that's coming to you. So you got to start noting those small things that happen. And when you have those small moments of like these things coming at you, like, oh, engage in it. Engage. Fuck with it. Like, you know, play around with it. Because that's the beginning of you tapping in your power, because the thoughts are coming to you. You're getting thoughts every day. Things are coming to you. But when you think about shit all day and you look at the media, you do these things, you think yourself out of shit that's for you. Because you forget. You start overthinking shit. And you forgot what the fuck you were thinking about. And that's the whole point with this thinking thing, man. T-H-I-N-K. You have to T-H-A-N-K. Nothing bad has ever happened out of being thankful for something. Nothing bad has ever happened from being thankful. No pressure. No fucking pressure. That's the biggest killer, is the pressure, man. And I've had tons of, you know, being a CEO, being an ex-basketball player, trying to grow a company, you have tons of pressure to do these things because this person thought it should be done. This is, you know what I mean? You have these constant pressures. But when you know you're a different brain, you know you have these concepts, you have these dreams, and like, when you're thankful for the situation that you're in, it may not be the way you want it to be right now. Yes, being thankful I wouldn't say it brings content, but being thankful brings you positivity. And you can then turn that positivity into your own content. It's going to give you what you want. It's up to you to, once you engage, what you do with it. But as long as you stay engaged in an attitude of gratitude, it's going to keep giving you more. You know what I'm saying? You can be in an attitude of gratitude. You get something and then you're like, oh, I got this. Fuck it. I don't need to be thankful no more. I got what I want. That's just going to stop. Because how do you know that you just got this Mazda 626 and then being thankful? Next thing you know, a nigga give you a Benz S550 just because he liked your Mazda and he went your Mazda. You can't rule out the fact of things like that happening by not being thankful, because people don't become thankful because they're complacent. You don't give thanks because you're comfortable where you're at. I'm thankful because I want more. I'm keeping giving thanks because I want more. I know there's more, right? So it's like, although I know it's more, I'm not going to be consumed and mad at where I'm at. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm thankful for where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? It took me 6 years to get where I'm at right now. And I'm thankful for that process. You know what I'm saying? I'm thankful to be able to sit in my own home and have my own podcast and talk and not have to leave nowhere and whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it took 6 years to do that. But the biggest thing that's helped me in this process is always knowing that I got something to be thankful about. Why would I sit here and be mad at the fact that I can't find the right material to make my blanket? What? Out of all the things I need to be mad about, you choose that to make you mad. And then you choose that to make you mad. You start thinking about, damn, if I can't find the material, I'm not going to be able to fulfill this order. Then I can't fulfill this order. Then they're going to take this away from me. Then they take this away from me. My investors are going to do this. Then my investors do this. I'm going to be... It's like, it's all false precept. It's all, it's not even real. It's a reality that you're creating based off of your thinking of something that became a thought. Then that thought turned into a belief. And now you got to overcome the belief that wasn't even nothing to begin with. It was nothing. You thought yourself into a belief and now you got to overcome the belief. And now we fucking still sitting here at the same time. Exactly, bruh. Exactly. Ace, exactly. Because there's no pressure. You got to think, every time you give thanks, that makes somebody happy. Every time somebody tell me thank you, subconsciously, it's like, oh, thank you. No, thank you. You know, sometimes somebody tell you thank you and you say thank you back. It don't even make sense. Like, oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Like, what, nigga? What? It's positive energy going back and forth. Nigga. You know what I'm saying? It's a frequency. And that's what this show right now is about. And I'm going to get off here. My shit about the dog. Get off. I'm going to get off here soon because I want to save it. Is that we got to know that the frequency that we don't see, that attitude of gratitude switches that vibrational frequency. It makes our environment a lot lighter than what it is. It doesn't feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. And once you get off that weight of the world on your shoulders, you become light. You be able to flow. And that's what this game's about. You got to be able to flow. You got to know. You can't think. Because if you think, when you blink, what you knew is the past. And it scared you like, boo. And it's on your ass. We don't want nothing on our ass. You want to know that you got the flow to go. Don't worry about the dough. All right, Mr. I try to get deep with y'all on freestyle and shit, but I couldn't hold on. That was it. But, yeah, once again, I appreciate everybody for coming on. Step Back with Jack Podcast. I have a lot of episodes saved for you guys. I'm just waiting to put these out all at once. Like I said, I appreciate everybody for hopping on the live, getting this knowledge, and I'm going to be doing a lot more of this. You know what I'm saying? I'm super thankful for you guys coming on here. And like I said, everybody that's on here, I want you guys to wake up tomorrow morning before you pick your phone up, say five things you're thankful for and watch how your vibrational. Oh no. Oh, wow.